Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Rhyme Alarm, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Don't shake your head at me, McGee. You're surly, I'm surly. It's going to be a hell of a show. Don't be so grouchy over there. Look at you.
Not happy with the document.
Welcome to Net Live, ladies and gentlemen. What is today? The 14th of March, I believe, 2011. As we listen to the garbage trucks go by the home court, welcome in. Myself.
All the windows are open.
We have to have them open because we are in an ET situation right here. Right now, people should be coming into the house with full toxic suits on to keep Jeremy and I safe from your germs, McGee.
I feel like I should be in a bubble, just protecting myself.
He needs to be in the bubble. I want to have like the little hands to reach in and like, you know, serve him food with the gloves on.
Bubble Boy from Seinfeld.
Yeah, the Moops.
Had a long weekend. Had to work. Obviously, by the sound of my voice, you can tell I'm sick. And I got to work the Lakers-Orlando Magic game tonight. My wife looked at me today, prepping for the show. Why are you going to that show?
You need a sub for tonight? You need a sub one? Tell Fuhrer, call Barnett.
No, I need to get paid. So I'm going tonight. But she wanted to know why I was going. And I thought about it, and I thought, this is a big show. I don't want to go. But FOMO. You know what FOMO is?
Not a clue.
Fear of missing out. You just don't want to miss out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to not be here. I think Matt Boyce might call in later and explain FOMO to you guys. But you've all had it. And you know those guys that pretend they hate our show and say they hate Barnett and they say I'm not funny and who's Reed. And but they continue to download and listen. They have FOMO, fear of missing out. You don't want to miss out. And it's totally natural. You guys have all gone through it. Look yourselves in the mirror. Jeremy?
I feel very educated right now.
Barnett, you have it.
People don't want to miss out on this show today. They don't.
I know. That's why I'm here.
Hugh McCutcheon.
I'm going to be honest with you. I do not want to be here.
Hugh McCutcheon.
I do not want to look at you.
Has finally given us some audio. We have that audio from him, about 15 minutes of good interview yesterday while he was driving to pick up some fellow Kiwis.
Is that when Jeremy and I weren't allowed to be here?
That's
for
correct.
The interview?
I'm keeping Hugh all to myself. We have Matt Proper, going to come on, former national team athlete, talk about his business. Yeah, I know. Here, take a look at what we got going here. Then the big one, Misty and Carrie coming on. Right after training.
Well, the reason why I was upset earlier is because I wrote out about 20 questions for him, but it didn't save on our document. So when you just printed it out, there's nothing there. So we're going to wing it, which makes us – that's when we're actually at our best.
Yeah. We don't even need this outline thing. Just throw this in the garbage. Forget it. We're just going to do the show.
Worked out
last week. All ad lib. We're also going to talk about who the best basketball-volleyball team would be, or volleyball-basketball team. Which way would you put it? I can't decide which way it would go.
Volleyball, basketball.
Volleyball players going to basketball.
We did
players.
Basketball players going to volleyball.
Okay, so now we're doing volleyball players going to basketball.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about who our team picks are there.
All-time
volleyball. That's right. All-time volleyball.
I went more the beach route. I think you went more the indoor route.
I've got a decent mix of both, I think. Jeremy's got all beach guys.
For sure.
Reed picked half Russians.
If Jeremy knows one guy on the indoor national team besides Reed Pretty, it'd be a miracle.
Name one.
Name one guy.
Roy.
No,
Roy what?
Not on the team
Ball.
Anymore.
Nice job.
No, he's not on the team
he
anymore.
Got a goal. He was in 2008.
We're
when
talking,
they won the
that's still
okay,
pretty
right
impressive.
Now?
Leave him alone, Kevin.
That was 2.5 years ago. Name someone now. Anyone.
Can you spell my last name, Kevin?
R-O-U-E-C-H-E.
All right, you win.
All right,
you
deal
win.
With it.
You win.
R-O-U-I-E-I-A-O-U-C-H-I-O-E. Roche. So we have Misty and Carrie coming. That's going to be good. That's going to be interesting because
that was a good transition.
Misty told us. She
sent out
us.
The vibe early.
Yeah. It was there. And we didn't pick up on it. We weren't feeling her. Oh, my God. There.
Show me running here.
We're missing Carrie coming. That's going to be good.
I'm not retiring.
That's
going to
be interesting because. Where's this coming from? Because
Missy. Dude, we've lost.
You got the show streaming on your computer.
All 4,500 backed out.
Everybody, just turn off your computers.
Reed, save this show. Good, it's your God. Baby.
Okay, how about now?
Oh, okay. Fine. Here you go. No, you're.
It's not the show. Anything.
Every time I unmute you, you're streaming the show.
So I'm ruining the show. Is what you're trying to say? I'm ruining the show.
Nice job, Roechei.
Where's DJ High Pockets when you need him? Where's Matt Araki?
Samantha Watson.
What about me getting compared to Pauly D on our Facebook page?
Yeah, somebody, who is this hero that we're the Net Live, like, Jersey Shore style?
Read
with
that
cat. Let's give credit where credit is due here. Reed, you have that pulled up?
All right. Efforting. Let me find it.
Yeah, we had a guy email us this week, great email, about how the Jersey Shore and the Net Live compare. And I don't think Roche was very happy. I didn't really know, although I got called a whiner.
I was the situation, and I got to tell you something. I've never seen one.
All right, here we go.
About your abs,
I do know who the situation is, and the only thing that we can compare is abs. There's no question about it. I think he has 9 of them, doesn't he?
Is he skinny fat? Is that what you're saying?
Apparently the guy's a washboard.
All right, here it is. This is the Scott Cotton.
I hate him, skinny fat. Scott,
Massachusetts.
Who is it? Who is it?
Scott from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. He says, first of all, he says, Barney and Geeter, your show is kind of like Jersey Shore. The aforementioned two, and here's the tale of the tale. DJ Pauly D is like your DJ Roche. Hip and lock. Vinny is pretty in the show. No one knows why what he does. Ronnie's like Barnett. They're never happy, and they can cry a lot. Ronnie and Sammy, sweetheart, and Barney about Karch Karai.
I'm hooking up with Sammy.
The situation is like Geeter. Always wants to be the center of attention, and they both spend more gel, more on their hair gel and spray tan than the net income of the AVP. AVP fan since 1986, Net Live fan since 2010.
I'll tell you what, he is maybe a little bit on that some of that stuff.
That's kudos right there. That's a fantastic
good
email.
Good for him.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Keep him coming.
I mean,
earlier in my life, it wasn't about me, but it sure is now.
Geeter's working out with Geeter, dude. You're big time. You're the situation. You're all ripped up. You think that you're a star. You're going to quit Jersey Shore and move on to bigger things.
Ah, that'd be great.
You're going to quit this show and move on to
bigger
things?
5 million episode? Snookums? What's her name?
Snooky.
God, is she a hack.
Nicole Snooky something or other.
5 mil.
Oh, are you, a show?
5 mil a year.
A year. Jesus. And that's... minus like appearances.
Sheen was getting 2 mil a show.
She's getting appearances.
Sheen was getting 2 million a show.
Was,
2.5 men.
Was is the key.
Was.
Word. Still winning.
He's still winning. Definitely.
Winning.
I'm fine.
Who in the volatile world would be great to stick in a house? What are the 5 to 6 people that you want to see in a house duke it out?
All time guys, or you're talking now, modern day era?
I'm saying. Modern day, you got a house on the Strand, guys and girls, indoor and beach. Who's going to be the most entertaining that's going to drive numbers on these networks?
Jen Kessy.
Loomis. Ty Loomis is going to be in the house.
Casey
Patterson.
Nice.
And
Casey
Jennings.
Yeah, Jennings might be interesting. Who's he going to fight with, though? You got to have some incendiary stuff going on. Maybe Nicole and Carrie now.
Ooh. Good call.
The Scorn, you know?
I'm trying to think. It's tough right off the top of my head because you want some controversy, no question. The reason why I say Ty is because he's single and he likes to go out and have a good time, so you need that element.
Brian Lewis?
On the show. Rose
Brian Lewis in there to fight with some people?
Yeah, and then you need the instigator guy, the guy that's going to be kind of the boss of the house, like the Hovland type guy.
Who's Puck? Can anyone rise to the level of Puck in the volleyball world?
Love to have a UI.
Nick
in the
Lucena
house.
Would get into it a little bit.
Yeah, he's not afraid. Nick Lucena has some of the greatest headbutts in the history of the game. Oh, he has absolutely cracked people. Great times.
What about
he's wiry, dude. Do not mess with Nick Lucena.
What about Scotty Lane?
Scotty 100% is in the house.
Scotty Lane is the guy.
With
he's
any
the guy.
Era.
going out.
The lock would be in with any era. And I'm being serious.
This is a guy who put like a gorilla punch on somebody in Colorado Springs. Reached over George Romaine's shoulder and hit some dude on top of the head like a hammer. Starting a fight.
And he likes to go out and have a good time. He'd be perfect in that house. We digress. What'd you do this weekend, Barney? Part of the show everyone hates, so we might as well just get it over with.
I dominated. Well, pardon me. My team dominated this weekend. The Eagles flag football team took down two wins and now has a winning record, 2-1.
Is this spring season?
Yeah, spring season. Played twice. This is when we started a year ago, spring season, with a team that was terrible. 1-10. We're now 2-1. We had a rematch of the 1980 Super Bowl, Eagles-Raiders. There's no Jim Plunkett.
There
wasn't
Jim Plunkett, huh?
No Jim Plunkett. Raiders took out there, and the Eagles destroyed them. 7-0 win. So, good stuff.
I had to coach yesterday all day, American Sports Center.
Okay.
Shaq, mandatory number two. Took third. Had a pretty decent road there, actually. Didn't play great all day. Kind of got through it and then got absolutely hammered in a one-game-only semifinal to Rancho. Krista Van Zandt, who's on the cover of Volleyball Magazine.
Worked you.
They just dominated us from start to finish. It was never even close. We were never in the game. Called timeout 6-2. Lost probably 25-12. I believe they beat Coast, Ojan's team, in the final. Right now, they're the two best teams.
It's like the Eagles and Saints on Sunday. Eagles, 4 interceptions, 3 returned for touchdowns. 30-0 beatdown Saints.
Should be doing Lakers prep, but FOMO, fear of missing out, so I'm here.
Rosenthal's with us. He's got a comment about Jersey Shore.
Well, I'm sure Barnett's posture's upright because he just got done talking about flag football.
Amen, brother.
I mean, we haven't gotten to the important part of the show where you talk about college volleyball or anything like that, but flag football, he's upright.
So,
yeah, you know, you guys hit on to something. Jersey Shore, I like it.
You
Barnett,
watch-
you would – of course I watch it.
Paulie's yoked, is he not?
Yeah, Paulie D's yoked. He's yoked out. He's inked. He's inked up. Paulie D has phenomenal hair, too.
See, the hair job I think would go to you. I'm being honest.
Oh, we're giving him so much grief, he's wearing a winter hat today.
I'm straight from the airport from Las Vegas to the show. Just want everybody to know that.
Did you have a gig last night?
Did they take your
gel? I did not. They did not take my gel because I have a paste, so it's not necessarily a liquid, so they can't steal that.
Aye. What paste do you use?
I don't know the name of it.
Crest.
My head.
Crest. All right.
Sure, all the listeners are waiting.
This is a great show so far. Great. We've talked volleyball for about 2 minutes. This entire program for crying.
I tried.
I'm going
to throw
a note out
there. Try to
talk
about juniors, but never care about it.
Cincinnati's going to host the 2011 U.S. Open of Beach Volleyball. So beach volleyball continuing in the great place of Cincinnati.
That'll be at Hahana Beach.
Presented by Corona Light. Fifth engagement. Labor Day weekends, September 2 to 4.
$150,000 tournament.
Check it out. Yeah.
Brian Polark and Bob Slattery at Hahana Beach will be running that along with the Corona Wide Open. Steve Wendecki, Bill Berger.
New rules, antennas, small court.
I will be at that event.
There'll probably be a party. Oh, they hired you.
Yes.
Am I still on?
We were hoping no, but yeah.
I love it. I call in, I say two words, and then you guys just say, all right, see ya. None of the other guests get the treatment I get.
We're going to have a friend of yours on next week, Mike Lingenfelter from Muncieana. We're going to get a little we're sick of the West Coast bias with the club stuff because that's all I know, really. So we're going to go. We're going to get your guy on, and we're ready for him.
3 weeks later. I love it.
Hey, tell him to win a gold medal, and then he can get on one of these shows.
Hey, you're on.
I know people who
won. Where are we going here?
See you later.
You know what I know, Barnett, is when you read the message boards, people get us confused.
Yeah, they do.
And I know you hate when I get credit for what you say, but I don't like it either when people think I'm an ass like you. I mean, the Greg Whitest thing, people thought I was teeing off on him. It was you the whole time.
Teeing off on him?
By the way, that was an easy interview. I re-listened to it. We got a great. He had, I believe, over 2,500 looks on Volley Talk. 3 pages worth of replies for Greg Whitest.
I thought Greg Whitest had some good things to say.
I was impressed by him.
He was fun. He didn't mind the comments we asked him about paying players.
They rolled with it. You got to be able to have fun.
No, I think it's worth a listen. If you're out there recruiting, or if you're out there with kids who are going to be recruited, you're looking for ways to get them recruited, you got to listen to that interview. I thought it was a good one. Hey, another good link put up on our Facebook site this past week, which, by the way, you can like. It's facebook.com/thenetlive. Get up there and like us. We have discussions going all week. People have been great about posting different things. There's a business in New England. It's called The Sandbox, big indoor beach volleyball facility. Got a great feature. There's a link that's up on the Facebook page there to, I think it was a news feature, like ABC or NBC News or something, one of the local affiliates, maybe Wall Street Journal or something. But it was really cool just to see what these guys have put together, a couple of guys that wanted to live a dream instead of living a job. So they went out and put this together and captured the whole beach scene inside of a bubble, and you can play all winter, and they hold tournaments, and really kind of a neat deal. So check that out there, and definitely check out our Facebook page, all kinds of fun things out there. I think stuff like that's great for growth of the game. And you look at a beach game, you can't really play it in most of the country throughout, what, two-thirds of the year? I mean, it's raining or it's snowing or it's just too cold. Places like that are the only way that game's going to expand is if a lot of people get behind that type of effort. But I think the culture's there. I mean, beautiful day yesterday. I'm down at Hermosa Beach Pier, right by the poop deck, checking out the scene. Had some friends in from out of town, eating along the strand, and just watching the volleyball go on. It's great to see. I mean, you have everybody from pros on down to absolute weekend warriors. You can tell they're just out of the YMCA, getting out playing on the sand a little bit and slapping the ball around. But the fact they're all down there having a great time, and that's their thing to spend the day with their friends, really a great social scene.
That leads us to our new segment called Around the Poop Deck.
Poop Deck, actual place.
Hermosa, legendary place. Not going to be there for too much longer, I don't think. Right next to the Mermaid, which is a classic bar as well. Hopefully we have Hermosa open this year, mid-July. You're all invited. Beach volleyball is right around the corner, Jay Roche. Do you have any plans?
Not a single one.
NVL will open up in May.
I'll be at some of them.
They're going to be in Baltimore. Corona Wide Open going to open up in May in Texas. And USAV will open up in Huntington Beach late May.
You hosting any of those events, pal?
I'm going to be doing some Corona Wide Opens and some USAVs.
Nice.
Oh, in spite of your involvement with this show, huh?
Still allowed to work.
I'll come listen to you.
Appreciate that.
World League getting underway for the men coming up last weekend in May, 27th, 28th, and then the 3rd and 4th of June and 10th and 11th of June. They're all out of town. Then after that, you have Chicago versus Poland, and then you have Tulsa versus Brazil, and now I'm hearing Long Beach is what I've heard, is rumored. Reed, we have confirmation on that? Long Beach State? For the Puerto Rico matchup?
Yeah, I think I can confirm that. I haven't seen it on the USA website, but I read it first on Bollywood, which seems to be the leader in information these days. And I reached out to Alan, and he confirmed. So Long Beach it is.
Long Beach, 1st and 2nd of July. So a great opportunity for the Southern California audience to see the men in action against an actual opponent in a match that means something. It'll be great rather than just inter-squad scrimmages. There will be some inter-squads in May also, I think, second two weekends in May, 14th and 21st.
Reed, what is your ETA on being back in the States?
Probably around that time, around May, first, second week of May.
Will you have any time off or do you go straight into the national team?
Straight into it. Yeah, we got a packed summer. If you look at the schedule, there's something every month. World League, obviously, Poland is the host of the World League Finals, so they get an automatic bid. And you have to win your pool to go to the World League Finals anyway. And we have world number one, Brazil, in our pool. And so we've got a tremendous – World League cannot be a time for people to rest. We got to do all we can to try to get out of that pool.
Wow.
I'm looking up FIVB right now because they have an interesting new section to the formula. So keep going. I'm going to give our listeners an update on it.
Are you excited about getting back with the national team? Do you miss it when you're gone for a while?
Definitely, of course. You always, you get back to speaking English and actually having a game plan and One of the things I love about volleyball is, and you don't get it on the professional level too often, is just the teamwork aspect, you know, communicating, trying to do things together, set up a game plan, try to exploit weaknesses, and you know, all those things involve communication. And I guess also a desire to be a team and to want to work together. And a lot of times at the professional level, you don't get that. And so I think everybody, especially in those first couple months of the national team, everyone's so stoked just to be back. It's like, you know, it's like the honeymoon phase all over again. Of course, that wears off around July when you've been together for like 8 hours every day. But yeah, it's a good time.
How invested are guys when they're over in Europe and on teams? It's not national team level, but it's where, would you say?
Oh, it's high. I mean, there's certain years in certain leagues it's better. You know, Italy, they allow like four foreigners on the court at one time. So you've got like a bunch of all-stars all playing together. And so it's high. I think Champions League is most like international volleyball. But I think at this time there's no league that stands out as being comparable to national team versus national team.
This year's World League 2011 finals, as Reed mentioned, will be in Gdansk, Poland, July 6th through the 10th. You're going to have the winners of each of their pools. There's four pools, so you have four teams there. Then you also have the four second-place teams from all of those pools included. It's gone to an eight-team final. The host country, Poland, is guaranteed a spot in that final. And if Poland is ranked below the top two at the intercontinental stage, they still qualify. And the three best second teams join them. So for the United States, they really need to defeat Poland and Brazil, win it, and be done. But if they're in that second position, if the United States is in that second position, that would put Poland in third, which would mean the U.S. would have to be better than the other, or at least two of the other teams that have finished in second place in the other pools. And so you're looking at Brazil, Poland, United States, and Puerto Rico in Pool A. Pool B is Russia, Bulgaria, Germany, and Japan. My pick would be Russia and Bulgaria to come out of that group, although Germany has shown at times they can play with the world's best teams. I don't think Japan has much of a chance. Pool C, Serbia, Argentina, Finland, and Portugal. I think it's an interesting pool. Serbia is my pick to win the pool, but in second position, you could have Argentina. They've been kind of up and coming, playing better lately. And Finland. Finland's been a wild card. They've played some very good volleyball at times, have two, three good players. I'd like to see them make a final round, I think, just for the expansion of volleyball. They have the potential to do it. Then Pool D, Cuba, Italy, France, and Korea. And this next to the United States' pool could be the strongest of the pools. I think Cuba, second last year in World Championships, unbelievable performance, great young players. Wilfredo Leon, one of the great young stars. And if he doesn't defect, Cuba's going to stay very good. And then Italy. Italy seems to have gotten a little better mix of young talent and still hang on to some of those older guys. They're still there, and I thought they would have faded away by now. And France. I think France should be better, and maybe they come up and be better. Korea, I don't know. Korea I don't think is very good, but nice to see them back in the tournament.
Do you guys know anybody, Americans, playing over in Japan?
I don't think there are any men's players I can think of. And Cynthia Barboza was in Japan, but she came
back
home with
now.
An injury. So I don't know that there are any players left in Japan this season. Reed?
No, I think Akunwada. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Akunwada.
Yeah. She was there. Cynthia was actually in Russia. So Bollywood posted all the players that were in Japan.
Ah, okay. I did not see that.
That was nuts, by the way. I mean, did you guys, when you heard the news that there could be something coming your way when you woke up the other morning, did you go out and check it out, or were you trying to hightail it out of harm's way?
No, there were helicopters going off and down the coast, and I saw the footage from Japan that night. I turned on the news.
Yeah.
It happened to be on at 11 o'clock, and I was just marveling as you watched the buildings wash inland.
Yeah, obviously our thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Japan, but you know, my mother-in-law called and was like, what are you guys doing for the tsunami warning? And to be honest with you,
nothing
here on the West Coast. You know, we were watching, and you know, the surf was a little bit bigger, but it was nothing to be concerned about. But I, like you, was watching, you know, on the internet, watching on TV, and blown away at when they showed the town get washed away, because it looked like a movie set. It looked like a small fake town.
Yeah.
I mean, to think that those are big houses, and I mean, it was unbelievable, and you just feel for those people. You know, I lived in Northridge. I was a senior going to Northridge in 94 on the volleyball team. Our season was starting, and when we had the earthquake, the 6.9 in Northridge, and to think that they had over 15 aftershocks over 6.0 magnitude is baffling to me, because I've never felt anything like that 6.9 quake I felt in Northridge. I mean, it happened at, 4:31 in the morning, and it came on. I mean, it was – the reason why the Northridge one was so big and it was disastrous is because it was so close to the surface of the earth.
Yeah, it was less than a mile
underground. It felt like a 9.0, but it only lasted, 20 seconds. It felt like 10 minutes, but the Japan one lasted a long time. There was aftershock after aftershock, and then you throw a tsunami on top of it, and you just can't even imagine.
Interesting thing about that quake that just happened, they had warning. They had about 30-second warning, because there's two different waves that come off of an earthquake. There's a P wave first.
And I didn't
wave
know that,
afterwards.
By the way.
I didn't know that either. And they have a system that can detect that. So a lot of people had 30 seconds warning, but then no one knew about the tsunami. And you need a particular kind of quake, a particular kind of situation to get that. I was at the Northridge quake as well. I lived at NCR.
Yeah.
Right on the corner of Plummer and Zelda.
Absolutely.
Right on the corner.
Then you know
where
what
the
I was talking about. You know,
collapsed.
We all, right across the street from where you were living, I was on the other side. You know, we all had to go to that big field, the intramural field, it's called, evacuation. But buildings were down. There was fires. I mean, we were in a truck, literally a buddy's truck, and we were in the back, and we were driving down the street to get to that evacuation field. And I'm seeing buddy's buildings, guys that I've played with and friends on the baseball team, their buildings were down to the ground. And you don't know if people are alive. I didn't know anybody who died, but fortunately, but there were 16 people that died that night. So
most of them died at 9,500, I think, in Tampa, the other side of the campus right there. Building collapsed. It was pretty nasty, but I didn't sleep with the lights off for more than 2 weeks.
Wow.
Just, it was really a wild ride. I mean, like I said, 4:31 in the morning, I snapped awake and watched a television come at me and a lamp next to it go the other direction. Just could not believe what was happening. So certainly an 8.9 or 9.0, whatever they're classifying it as now, I could not begin to imagine what that felt like. And they said the shaking went on for something close to 5 minutes.
One of my sponsors is Vestex, and they're headquarters in Japan. And I text them, email them, make sure everybody was okay, and they said they were, but just the magnitude of the building shaking that they were in, they said it was just unbelievable.
Well, now the aftershocks are in the sevens and sixes, and those are big quakes by themselves, but they're just aftershocks to that main one.
The depressing segment is over. As we go to break, we'll come back. We're going to pick it up. We got Hugh McCutcheon coming in soon, carrying Misty in the second hour. Hang with us. We'll be back on the Net Live.
Hey, parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
I've been keeping my eye on your movement. I can't see no room for improvement. But when you're all over there on your Jack Jones, you need to let me get behind your backbone. Cause I'm the man for the job, let me work here. I won't waste no time, I make it worth it. 100% I make it worth it. You got a body to die for, let me work here. Now it's murder in the dark floor. I wanna take this further in the dark floor. I ain't full school, but I'm still hardcore. You're gonna give me everything I ask for. It's not a long team, you're the boom team. Maybe more than a hotel room team. I'll never know if I just walk past. I really wanna dance, so I can tell
you
what.
She ain't no hoe. Look at those eyes, it's in her eyes. She's good to go. She can satisfy my mind, body, and soul.
Come and dance with me, come and dance with me. Come and dance with me, come and dance with me. I see you glance at me, that's why I'm asking, B. So let's party, B. Come and dance with me.
If I'm out on my own, then I can look at you, looking at me. If I'm out on a date, then I just shut my eyes, then I can see. Get away from the bar, tell your boyfriend, hold your jaw, and start
to
see.
You me, that's why I'm asking, B. So let's party, B. Come and dance with me. Yo, it goes on and on. I see you get excited like this is my song. You think I wanna get involved, you are not wrong. Cause I've been waiting for this moment all night long. So I creep, creep, creep back to your seat. I've got my left eye checking out your scenery. I've got my right eye right where it needs to be. No matter how I look at it, you look good to me. Still,
looking for the perfect view. The way I see it, that's right next to you. I know you probably heard it before, but still, I love it when you text like that for real. So don't stop doing what you do when you do it. I just wanna be a part of it when you do it. I feel like a wally if I don't pursue it, and I can't go through it. But let's get to it.
No look at those sizes in her eyes, she's good to go. She can satisfy my mind, body, and
come and dance to me, come and dance to me, come and dance to me, come and dance to me. I see you glance to me, that's why I'm asking, B. But let's start it, B. Come and dance to me. I know you didn't come out to stand and stare. You bought new shoes and you did up your hair. You made a real effort tonight, and it shows. I can tell by your face, you don't wanna be alone, cause the mood is right and the time is now. And if you can't do it, I'll show you how. What you gotta do is get loose, let go. Just rock up your shape, put your skills on show.
Straight away, DJ Roche, pick it up for us. We're going a little slow this morning. Everybody's up early. Time change, you know, it's an hour earlier. Geeter's sick. You're back from Vegas.
I got to tell you, I got a text from another coach today. And he said, what was up yesterday at the gym? Was it daylight savings time? Because it was just a weird feeling in there yesterday. It was very sluggish.
It's amazing how
except the Rancho, they were just fine. But
amazing what it can do. Welcome to Net Live. Big stuff still to come. Hugh McCutcheon interview. I'm going to play that for you. Misty and Carrie coming up. But right now, we are proud to welcome into the Net Live a former national team player, a guy who started at Penn State, and a guy whose wife was featured in the Nike commercial, the Boom commercial, stolen from
Boom.
Welcome to the show, Matt Proper.
His better half.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Matt?
Hey. Yeah, the Nike commercial was pretty sweet. The Boom thing with, what was his name, the rapper?
But I liked his necklace a lot, where his necklace said Boom.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, anyway.
She's still collecting checks on that, Matt?
Yeah, those residuals, they add up. Yeah, so she got pretty lucky, and they kept playing it and playing it, and I think they're still playing it here and there. So, yeah, it's a good deal for her.
Matt, you have a new business venture. You're getting out there and putting out a thing called Skyball.com. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Skyball is sports profiles, events, and exposure. Basically, I came from the middle of Pennsylvania, farm country, cows, Amish, the whole nine yards. And I think that a lot of people in Southern California, where they have clubs every five miles, don't realize that in some places, like most of the places in the country, they don't have clubs every 5 miles, you know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to create something that spans all teams, clubs, agencies, and players can create their own profiles and get exposure at the same time, just kind of share the events and everything. Facebook right now, you know, you could create something on Facebook, but Facebook's like, it's there's so much on there. There's a Simpsons episode where Homer creates his own car. It's like the ideal car for him, but it ends up being like has tail fins, big green thing with two bubble domes and three horns and everything. And I think that's what Facebook's become. And so I wanted to create something that was kind of streamlined for sports and for the people involved with sports.
So is this a place where people can put up a profile, whether they're a professional player or a junior player, and coaches can come and learn more about particular players, see video of them, and learn about their resume?
Exactly. And you can put your events on there, and then anybody who follows you, kind of like you follow somebody on Twitter, and you can find out when they're eating their next peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But with sports, I just wanted it to be focused on schedules so you can follow somebody's schedule and know exactly when they're playing next and when you can check them out.
I noticed there's quite a few professional players on there. Jason Jablonski, Brooke Billings has a thing up there. Is this something you want to do for professional athletes, or are you primarily going after the juniors audience so coaches can access more information about particular players they're interested in?
Well, I wanted it to span all levels because coming from where I came from junior level all the way up to I've played professionally, and it's something that I could use as a professional or as a kid in high school. And so it's open to all levels. right now.
What inspired you with this idea besides your own experience?
Well, because I'm a computer guy. So what I know right now in my life is volleyball and computers. I went to Penn State for information science and technology. So those are the two things that I know. And for me, coming from where I came from, and like to be able to travel to all the countries that volleyball has brought me, and my family, my friends, everything that is part of me as a person, it's all basically from volleyball through what like God's brought me through volleyball. And so I'd like to kind of be a part of other people's opportunities, and that's kind of like what this is the essence of what Skyball is.
Matt, who's the best Amish volleyball player you ever saw?
There's this guy,
I love you,
Yoder.
He knows the answer to.
what's the real answer? I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, okay.
Kind of got.
No, the funny thing is they all congregate on Sundays for church, and they'll have like, I don't know, 100 buggies in the yard, and they'll set up a net, and they'll play probably 45 people on a side, and they'll just go at it. And they're a couple ballers, let me tell you.
There's a couple of guys
awesome,
who average 50 kills a match, but Amish
yep.
matches are 8 seconds. See?
Yeah, they last about 4 hours long.
So, Matt, getting back to Skyball.
Sorry, I did that. I just felt that Matt was ready. He was. Good
he
job,
was
Matt.
Ready. I was shocked. There are two different ways people can get on Skyball. Now, tell us, there's a free option, then there's an increased premium option. Tell us about both.
Yeah. So the free account is the basic setup. You just go on skyball.com and create your profile. Really straightforward. You can get set up in 30 seconds. And the premium is small fee. It's $9.95 per month, and you get increased exposure. So you get your profile is listed above the free accounts. You get advanced filters. So with filters, it's like searching for shoes on Zappos or Amazon.com. The more filters you want, you can narrow down by height, location, anything. And also you can post anything with the basic account. You can just post your matches, and with the premium account, you can post anything. You can post camps, clinics, whatever, and get exposure that way.
And Matt, people can follow you on Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter.com/Skyball, and my personal is Twitter.com/MattProper.
Yeah, I'm on that one.
I haven't been putting much up lately.
I know. What's going on with that, bud? We need you on the ball.
I know. I need to get my Twitter game up.
All right. Well, Matt Proper, your site is skyball.com, and we wish you the best with it. And thanks very much.
Thank you.
Good job, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
all right.
it.
Man. See you. Matt Proper, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, you kind of interrupted him, but he was literally going to give us the best Amish volleyball player. A guy named Schroeder, I think he's going to say. We'll have to go.
Yoder.
Winning.
Is that what we're doing right now? Oh, what's going on with this show? You know, sometimes it's all together, sometimes it's not. We've got the producer right now just hitting us. You guys stink. Pick it up. It's not very good. Come on.
Proper came in and did a nice job.
Guy.
Oh, you mean the guy that answers the phone?
Hey, by the way, since we're talking about Skyball, best Skyball of all time, are we Camacho, Dodd, anybody else in that list?
And now we're going to get into a bunch of people nobody knows. Dana Camacho is going to come into the conversation. Nobody knows who that is.
Dana Camacho.
Although in a movie, Jeremy
Ryan. You need to know who he is.
He's a tatted up, tiny, grit-smoking guy who looks like Steve-O a little bit and hits a huge Skyball. Come on.
What is the guy's name?
And he's got mad game
on the chat room. He played at Hahana Beach last year, got a third, I believe, played with Gratowski, young kid, Adrian.
Was he kicking it?
He's incredible, this guy.
His serve, he was kicking it, though?
He was doing everything, man. He hits crazy spinning sky balls. He's a great all-around game. There it is, Adrian Karambula. I knew I was on it. That guy's good.
That away, Chad.
Good sky ball. Dodd, great sky ball. Sinjin, great sky ball.
It's a lost art a little bit right now in the game. I don't see it too much.
Bring
is
it back
a smaller
a
court a
Raji's,
problem?
Definitely.
You know, just hitting a smaller target.
No doubt about it.
Todd broke it out a little bit last year. They were also up 20-10 at the time.
Yeah, I saw Todd.
Some of the showmanship I'm looking for in the game right there.
I saw Todd actually hit one backwards in Coney Island. I think you did too. Kind of got booed. It was when they were getting crushed, actually. It was when his back went out. Came back and won.
Why would you boo that? I wanted to see it.
I think because it went backwards into the stands.
No.
It kind of was, you know, match point the other way.
Souvenir.
All right, let's get on to the Hugh interview here. We've been working on getting Hugh pinned down and talking to him for the last few weeks about the Minnesota job. Finally got him yesterday on his way to LAX, back from New Zealand.
And there was a lot of talk whether he was going to stay with the national team, go to Minnesota. It was a long process. A lot of rumors flying around that he was gone, who's going to take over the national team. And Hugh just kind of laid low, went to Minnesota, did his press conference there, and then joined you yesterday.
The rumors were insane, but we'll get to that. Let's listen to the interview first. This is Hugh McCutchen yesterday afternoon talking to us, talking to me. All right, Hugh, thanks very much for joining us here on the Net Live. We appreciate you finally giving us a chance to talk to you. You know, it's been a really long process with you and this decision about Minnesota. I wanted to start you off with, how did this conversation with Minnesota first begin?
They contacted me, after Mike had decided to retire, and we had a little chat, and I didn't think there was too much there initially, but the more we talked, the better it seemed. It's a good situation for me and for our family, and we're very excited about the opportunity.
What were your first thoughts about how this would complicate your current situation with the national team?
Obviously I've tried, and I think I've succeeded in that with my national team tenure. It's always been, 100% commitment to that goal and that task. And the possibility of being compromised to that end was very unsettling for me. So trying to figure out a solution that would allow Minnesota to be in good hands, and for me to still be able to commit, my time and energy to the national team took a while. That's why it took some time, really.
We've talked with Mick Haley about his similar transition to USC back in 1998 and then on in 2000 when he actually did take over the job, and what then executive director Kerry Klosterman for USAB said to Mick. What did Doug Beal say to you when you started the conversation with him?
Well, first of all, I talked to Doug right from the get-go. Any time a university contacts me or anyone contacts me about another opportunity, I usually, if it's a serious conversation, I usually give Doug a call just to let him know it's happening. And he could see why it was a good fit for us and was certainly supportive of it, but right from the get-go, he was very interested in supporting an interim strategy and trying to make this work for everyone involved.
So this wasn't the first university that contacted you about their opening?
No, there've been a couple other schools that I've talked to along the way, Barney, but we'll probably leave that at that.
Sounds good. Why then did Minnesota become the place that you really wanted to go and everything worked out?
Well, I think it was a combination of a lot of different factors, but obviously on a volleyball level, professionally, I think their commitment to the sport, the school's commitment to the program is very strong. When I was able to go and have a look and see, the environment that they have, I think it's a really good setup. I was very impressed. The people there were wonderful. The athletic director, Joel Maturi, and the senior women's administrator, Regina Sullivan, were both wonderful, and I just felt very God, I know, connected to them and what their vision was for their athletic program and for the volleyball program in particular. The main attraction from a family point of view was not just the fact that Wizzy's family's from there. It was more just for our young little family, for myself and Elizabeth and for Andrew, the chance to spend more time at home and less time on the road, and certainly smaller chunks of time on the road was really the main driving force. But when you combine what they had to offer professionally, the bits from a family point of view for us, for Elizabeth and Andrew and I, and then of course the added bonus of having her family from there, and being able to be around cousins and uncles and aunts and grandmothers and such, it was just really perfect fit, we would have been irresponsible not to have tried to make it work.
Yeah, I've heard that Wiz's family lives on a big piece of property with several houses, and this seems like it'd be a big moment for Wiz, an opportunity to move back with her family and have the support of her relatives. And did you guys keep it from the family? And at what point did you really let the cat out of the bag that this was possible?
We kept it in-house for a while just because, there has been a lot of interest in us someday moving back there, and we needed to make sure it was right for us before we were in a position to open ourselves to any leverage that might come from the relatives. But Barney, everyone was great. When we kind of had things in a position to where the negotiation with the university was at a serious level, then the family was very supportive, and not just of the move, the idea of moving to Minnesota, but they've embraced USA Volleyball for a lot of years and supported not only with Elizabeth's journey with USA, but also mine. And so they were very interested as well as in having us try to finish this quad and then just have this next step in place.
Have you selected a coat yet? Are you going to go with Gore-Tex or wool? Because you're going to need some warmer clothing than you currently have in your wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a whole new set of layers, that's for sure.
Maybe a blend, some down.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. The weather is what it is. I don't know. I've never been a whole lot happier when it's sunny and a whole lot sadder when it's raining or anything. So I'm not sure I'm prone to all of that, but I'm sure I'll figure out some ways to keep occupied. Really, Kevin, it's as much as I love the international game and I've spent over a decade in it now. When you have a child, it just tends to have an influence on your priorities. I'm sure you felt the same, but
certainly,
just the idea of doing this through Rio and having to watch my kid grow up via Skype just wasn't really too enticing. The travel, I know, will be a lot. There'll be a lot of recruiting, a lot of travel, and the competition is going to be intense. I think that the Big Ten is becoming one of the, if not the strongest conferences in the country, with the addition of Nebraska especially. But, my goal in life was to be a dad, I love being a coach, but it's what I do. It's not who I am. So I'm trying to honor those roles of husband and father and do all those things right. And the international volleyball world is as great as it is and as wonderful as it's been, long-term for us anyway, isn't the right way to do it.
I think you touched on the travel there about the national team, but a lot of us have been wondering why the national team job is not the top job, not the place that people really want to go when they begin a coaching career. It seems like the top jobs in college is where they really want to end up. And you're coming from the national team.
I'm not sure about that, actually,
nope.
Kevin, because honestly, if you like to coach, the national team job is the best coaching job there is. And I mean, it's awesome. It's just incredibly demanding on your time, and there's a lot of different plates you got to spin to make it work. But if you like to coach and you like to spend your days looking at different ways of getting better in the gym, it's the best job there is, no question. You don't have any of the constraints placed on you that you have with the NCAA, and you know, you get to work with some really phenomenal athletes and some really phenomenal people. You get to be in the Olympic world. You know, there's a lot of good things about it. I just think for, you know, trying to raise a family and do all those things, I don't think it's necessarily the best route to go there.
Yeah.
But in terms of it being a great job, I think it's phenomenal.
You mentioned some of the constraints of the college system, and now with an interim head coach, and you've hired Chris Tamas and Alfie Reft as assistant coaches. How much will you be involved with Minnesota, if at all, before you arrive after the Olympics?
Yeah, you know, very little, and that's why we had to get the right people. Really, I'm extremely happy with the interim staff. And they all bring different strengths to the table, but very happy with that group. And by design, I can't and won't have very much, if anything, to do with it.
Talk about the strengths of Tamas and Reft.
Excuse me?
I said talk about the strengths of Tamas and Reft.
Well, let's start with Laura, first of all. I mean, she's been a head coach before. She's been at Minnesota for the last 5 years. She's extremely well qualified to deal with this transitional phase. And not only that, I mean, she's a really intuitive, thinking, very strong coach. I've been very impressed with her, and I've known her for a while, obviously for a few years, but I've just been very impressed with her. And so I'm very comfortable with her leadership. And then Alfie is a guy that I think if we're going to, maybe get into a little bit of different paradigm in terms of the way we're teaching and coaching, he's a guy that has worked with me for a number of years and knows how we want things done and can model a lot of those behaviors. So I like that, you know, especially given that the women's game is a lot about, you know, passing and defense, having an international leader on your staff is a good deal, I think.
Yeah.
Chris, obviously as a center, also someone that played for me, so philosophically aligned, but also spent the last couple of years working with Ron Larson, who was my assistant with the men in Beijing. And so, he brings a lot of the operating system just from a coaching point of view with him that, I think is really important as well. So, yeah, all of those factors, I think, balance out to a very strong staff. I feel very fortunate and comfortable. Most importantly, I think, with those people. If I didn't know that Minnesota was in good hands, it would be very hard to be doing what I'm doing. You know, finishing up with the national team. But thanks to their expertise and skill, we have a mechanism in place that we can make a run at London and then get on with the next chapter.
Well, talk about that process of deciding where you were going to stay once the Minnesota job was really there and you wanted to accept it, and parsing the situation of needing to complete your task with the national team and wanting to complete your task with the national team.
Well, a lot of it was just trying to settle on the motive for me. I already said I like this job a lot. I love it, and it is a great job. But I want to do it because I want to do it. I don't want to do it because I feel like I'm going to do it from a point of obligation. I think that's not a great place to lead from. And so for me, it was, about trying to reconcile these ideas of fatherhood and being a family with my core values of wanting to compete, wanting to finish what we started, and one day being able to look my son in the eye and say, hey, you know what, I did it the best way I could, and it was right for us.
So it's really just a personal decision, and there
extremely
weren't a lot of
personal,
other other factors that went into that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Elizabeth and I talked at length about all the different whys and wherefores. There were pros and cons on each side. So at the end of the day, given that it was going to be impossible to make everyone happy, although I think we're about as close as we're ever going to get with this solution as it worked out. I think we've got a very good end to all of this process, but it just became glaringly apparent that for me to do it, I had to be connected and invested and engaged in what was happening with the national team, and I feel very much that way. I'm excited for the next 18 months. I think, you know, our team is going to continue to get stronger, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Last couple of questions about Minnesota. One more about them and your expectations for the program over the next couple of years. You said you're not going to be really involved. You can't really be involved because of your focus, because of the rules. Where do you think that program needs to be? Where do you think it is today, and where does it need to be in 2 years?
You know, I think they're pretty good right now, and hopefully a pretty good one in a couple of years when I get there.
All right, back to the business at hand then with the national team for this season. Destiny Hooker seems like is going to have surgery, knee surgery, and be coming off of that. You have a variety of other athletes in the gym and really a packed house coming off what was a great 2010. What are your expectations for that team this year during qualification?
Well, obviously the goal is to qualify, and then let's see what it looks like from that. But, you know, with Destiny, with her knee problems, Alicia breaking her hand, Krista having some knee issues, you know, we got to get healthy first. That's really the first goal, and then we'll worry about what happens after that.
All right, Hugh, we know you're stepping out to pick up some people there at LAX. It's a windy day by the ocean. Thanks very much for spending a few minutes with us.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks, Hugh. See you later.
Bye.
Hugh McCutchen, yesterday. On his way to the airport, just back from New Zealand, he was picking up some other friends from New Zealand. Dieter, what do you think about that?
I'd love for people to call in, 347-677-1525. Get your comments on Hugh and the interview. First of all, nice job, Barney. Good job finally getting him. I know Reed put a lot of time into that, too, and thanks to Hugh for making that time for us. When I listen to that, it's hard not to love Hugh when you hear him talking. For those that have spent time with him, whenever you get to have conversations with him, you always learn something, whether it's about life or other stuff. You know, he and I always talk about back in the day, we played against each other and all the fun we used to have. And he's just a great guy. And he thought this through. And he took as much time as he needed for his family and to make the right decision. And all the rumors that were swirling, he just let them go. And when he was ready to talk, he talked. And bottom line, the Minnesota job for Hugh and his family, Wiz and Andrew, is the perfect situation. She's from there.
Yep.
The family, the cousins, mom, everything they've been through, that is the ideal job for Hugh McCutchen. He served his time. He's done it for our national team. I'm glad he's staying through 2012. That's the only thing I ever wanted him to do from a personal, selfish level. I'm really glad it worked out that way. This could not be a better situation for him.
It's funny you say served his time on the national team. Yeah. And I sort of baited him into that with it's not the premier job,
yeah.
Right? People don't pursue the national team job. And I liked his response to that, that if you want to coach,
absolutely,
that's the place to be because that's what you do.
Yeah.
You coach. You don't spend all your time recruiting or dealing with the NCAA or making sure you're within the rules and only going 2 hours a week with a player for half the season. You don't do all that stuff. You go, you have the players in the gym, you play, everyone's there for one purpose.
And it's not like I meant he served time like he had to play for the Clippers. No offense, Jeremy.
Wow.
Ron Harper once said.
That was uncalled for. Yeah. That was offensive. No offense.
Yeah.
Full phony.
Sorry about
cover
that.
Up.
Uncalled for.
But what I mean is that he has spent a lot of time with the national team. He should be able to leave whenever he wants. Bottom line, he's done it all. I'm glad he's staying through 2012, and what an opportunity for he and his family. He hit on the head. I mean, the Big Ten now, especially with the addition of Nebraska, you talk about a power conference, coaching against Cook, Russ Rose, Mark Rosen, Hambly, all these great coaches, great programs. He's the lifer now.
Is he coaching against Cook, or are they coaching against him?
Coaching against Hugh.
You think so?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You could have.
Off the top of my head, I said coach against Hugh, but I think they're coaching against each other, man. I mean, Russ obviously is right now the godfather. There's no question about it.
Yeah, you kiss the ring when you come in.
Yeah. Cook's got a couple titles, but there, here in comes Hugh. It's this glaring gold medal. That's pretty big time.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, though, too. I mean, expectations will be really high. But I think one thing Hugh's going to be very good at is recruiting. You hear that whenever we talk to him on this show, those that don't know him personally get a feel for what he's like as a man and how personable he is. Whether it's the colorful language used artfully throughout anyone has colloquialisms or you know special phrases, but just the way that he relates to people is very thoughtful and efficient. I think it's how you mentioned he approached the situation.
And I think a big part of the reason why it took so long was because he wanted to feel comfortable and even said this where Minnesota was and where it was going to be. He needed to get the right coaches in there.
Sure.
Where he felt comfortable saying, hey, here's this program for a year and a half till I get here.
He also needed to feel comfortable with what the resolution was for his current job and what he's vested in there because he's 100% in.
Yep.
And he didn't want there to be, I think, any sort of questioning of that. And there was a lot of that across the idiot chat boards about, oh, he's quitting. Oh, he's definitely leaving. Oh, he's out of there. Oh, the money's this. You guys don't know anything.
Yep.
Your people out there putting stuff out, oh, I definitely talked to somebody inside of USA Volleyball who's a credible source. You didn't talk to anybody. You just wrote something that you thought would be incendiary because you really didn't know what was happening. I talked to Hugh a couple of times through this and sort of knew where a little bit of where things were. But you hear him say it now. You know, he wanted to make sure things with the national team were fixed before any announcement was made, that everything was fixed as what was actually going to happen before he really got out there and started talking about Minnesota and talking about the national team.
He said a line that I wrote down, said goals to be a dad. You know, and somebody wrote it on the message board about, you know, I'm a father, coaching is what I do, but I am a father. And I thought that was really cool because now that I have a kid and I have a baby on the way at any moment, you know, it definitely changes your thought process. And he mentioned, you know, I'll be traveling, of course, recruiting, playing in the Big Ten, college season is a wear and tear, but it's smaller chunks of travel.
It's
he
so
said
different.
That was the quote. Small. So it's not even in the same ballpark going 30 days to around the world as compared to a weekend at Penn State.
Right. Right. And even the recruiting you have to do, you go out, you go back. You sleep in your own bed 5 nights a week. On a busy week, you're maybe going to be in your own bed 3 nights that week. But when you go on these international tours, you mentioned it, Grand Prix, 5 weeks long. Every year.
Yeah.
Then you have world championships, 3.5 weeks long. The grind of the gym, the grind of the office work outside of that. I mean, you are busier there than you will be in college. I don't care what anyone says. They haven't been in the international game. It is more commitment than college.
You know, Karcher and I spoke about this the other day, and he mentioned the travel being tough for him to get used to, but his kids are in college. Jana, his wife, joined him for some of the trip. A little different for Hugh with a baby.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a different time in his life. And that travel's going to wear on anybody, no matter how long you've been around it, how old you are, but especially with a baby. You know, he said it, hit it to a T, because I remember going to Beijing, and my daughter wasn't 1 year old yet. And I remember I was only gone 20 days. That's it. But it was my first time being away from her, and we had to do Skype. And just watching her crawl for the first time and all that stuff on Skype, Hugh said it. He said, I don't want to raise my kid through Skype.
Yeah.
I thought that was a real interesting comment.
Well, imagine even before Skype, when I would go away for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I'd tell the wife, I'm like, dude, send me a few pictures of the guy. But I understand it at that age, and I do it now in my own life. It's the reason I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I don't maximize some opportunities, and because I need to be there to go to school or to do the activities and be a part of their lives now, and that will begin to shift. You know, when they're 14, 15, 16, they have more of their own lives, you can start to switch that around. But certainly when they're babies, you want to see that. You want to be involved in that. And this is a big part in that move for you.
I'd love to be a stay-at-home dad. Where do we sign up?
Put your wife to work.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, good wife.
Or 39 weeks.
She's happy to
38
go to
weeks. Reed, did you listen to the interview?
No, I completely checked out. What's going on? Not,
send us another email.
You know, I don't have much to add, but, you know, just in hearing his tone in that interview and also when I talked to him last week, it just seemed like this process was very exhausting to him. I don't know if I'm reading into that too much, but he just sounded tired. And I just think that, you know, volleyball is not used to any sort of kind of media or media circus or, you know, the TMZ type stuff. And I think that some stuff got back to him that was – that just kind of got a little bit tiresome, and And I don't think in the volleyball world we're used to any press, let alone bad press. And, you know, I'm happy for him. It seems like he's happy that he's made the right decision. And of course, we're all stoked that he's going to be representing our country for another Olympics. And then we wish him the best in Minnesota. It seems great.
Reed, you make a great point about the lack of criticism in this world from the media. And I think that's something that hopefully volleyball players and volleyball people will have to get used to, because that would mean there was a wider discussion going on and people that disagreed with the broad assessment of whether you're doing a good job or not. And mostly we only hear about the positive. And I think there are some people, even some big people in this sport, who are not used to having any sort of criticism lobbed their way. And really, if this is a true sport, if volleyball is relevant, there's going to be criticism, because not everyone is doing a great job. If everyone was doing a great job, then everyone would win the championship every year. There's only one championship, so everyone can't be doing a great job. And I think sometimes we get into it with the particular players or national coaches, or we hear about college coaches. Sometimes we're doing the College Volleyball Weekly. We hear about it. Oh, they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job there. How could they be doing a great job? They're in 11th place. Like Pepperdine this year, Marv Dunphy. Obviously not doing a great job. Love Marv.
They lost UCSD.
In five.
Just letting you know.
They lost the second set like 38-36. But they're obviously not a great job getting done up there this year. There are problems. Admitting there are problems, saying there are problems, and then it's not getting done, that's reality. It's not someone getting on your case. All right, saying the world of volleyball can't have a certain image is reality. So move on and realize that there's going to be some criticism there. If you're relevant, if anyone cares, it's not all rainbows and ponies. Love that one from Hugh McCutcheon. I will use that weekly.
And it's so difficult to always stay at the top. You know, when SC was at the top of the Pac-10 in football, and yes, of course, you can say, of course, I cheated. Let me tell you, everyone's cheating in college
football. Everyone's cheating, for sure.
But to stay at the top for 7-8 years, you know, it's real tough. I'm finding it, even in such a smaller level, the club world, to stay relevant and stay good, it is so hard because there's so much competition out there. Same thing in women's college volleyball, same thing in men's college volleyball, as well as basketball. You're not going to, you know, Coach K and Duke, they're not in the Final Four every single year. You know, but since they're relevant, because they're relevant over the last 25 years, very impressive. Very impressive. It's hard to stay on top.
And even Coach K has his critics.
I think it was that, wasn't it that finals of the Boston Celtics when they won it, that Ray Allen was, all the media was just talking about how he's lost his stroke. And, I mean, they just made a huge story that he just was not hitting. And then he came up super huge in the clutch. And of course, he's the all-time leader now.
Yeah, you know, in 2008.
I think of guys like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Reed, in 2008, you know, they went 7 with the Cavs, 7 with the Hawks. This is all before, you know, Hawks were in the first round, I believe. And they were struggling, and Ray Allen was really struggling to find his stroke in 2008. He definitely got hot and ended up killing the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Paul Pierce was the MVP, but they're not winning without Ray Allen. You know, it's the same thing as last year. You know, Ray Allen had a horrible game one, and then I think a record for three-pointers in the NBA Finals in game two. So great players continue to persevere through that stuff. You know, Kobe Bryant said it the other day. We were in the locker room, and people were talking to him. Dee Fish had just gotten hurt. He got his shoulder crushed by Kwame Brown, and people thought it was worse than it was. We weren't sure how long Derek was going to be out.
Kwame Brown's still in the league?
Yeah, he's still in the league. He's amazing. Actually caught the ball, too. They asked Kobe about, you know, is it a big deal to lose Fish? You still got Blake, and isn't Fish getting old anyway? And Kobe just had a line like, the people who say that don't know anything. And he's right. Like, you have no idea what D. Fish brings. Don't you think Phil might know? 11 championships, there's a reason why D. Fish plays. Don't you know what he brings to a team? Obviously, if you play sports, you know what the guy brings to the team. He's the glue. He's the voice of the team. The guy like that is invaluable.
We've talked about a Riley Salmon in that way.
Absolutely agree.
You look at him physically, go, no chance, forget him. Get him out of there. You can't play people based on physical abilities alone. There's a huge mental aspect to any high-level sport and a huge team concept to basketball.
Believe me, there were boosters at LMU that said to Rick McLaughlin, why is Reed Pretty in the lineup? And you know what? Now the guy has a gold medal around his neck.
Wait a second. There were boosters at LMU?
I'm just saying. Just trying to get you involved in the show again, bud.
Hey, if you've got any reaction to what's happening here on the show, 347-677-1525.
I mean, Reed called us out earlier. Pick up the game, so I wanted to get him involved.
Wing. Charlie Sheen, out of control. Is he going to make more money on these tours and things? Somebody had a good point this morning. Everyone's talking about how Charlie Sheen's talking himself out of work, right? But you mentioned residuals earlier with Morgan Beck, right?
Mm-hmm.
2.5 Men is syndicated, so he doesn't need any more work. It doesn't matter if he works now or not, no matter what the price tag was per episode. He could just go nuts, and he's still pulling those checks in indefinitely.
Pound 7 gram rocks. That's how he rolls. I mean, the guy just he can pull it off. No, he's I don't know.
Winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
Now what?
I don't know if he's going to make more money. I mean, $2 million a show is.
Is that what we're
big
getting?
Big dollars.
I just haven't seen that check yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. No, all we get is parking tickets.
No, okay.
But he's sure going to make a lot of money if he lives. I mean, he's America's favorite train wreck right now.
Oh.
There's not even a question.
Yuck. Jeremy, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to be right back. We have the College Volleyball Weekly still upcoming, and Misty and Carrie coming up at the end of the show. We're also going to tell you who we think the starting basketball team would be if it was made up of volleyball stars today and yesterday. The Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Myself, Kevin, Geeter, Jeremy, Reed from Russia. We'll be right back.
They call me help. They call me Stacy. They call me her. They call me Jay. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me Quiet, but I'm a liar. Mary Jolita, always the same. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. I'm Mr. Cat.
Welcome back to the Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Hey, if you want to check out what Jeremy Roche, DJ Roche, is playing for us each week here, we'll post it on our Facebook page right after the show.
Me and my friends have a question for you.
Okay.
If everyone did a great job every year, everyone would win the championship.
Yeah, what does that mean?
They want to know what that means. Jeremy and I want to know the same thing.
It just means that, in particular to our College Volleyball Weekly,
yeah,
back in the fall,
uh-huh,
when we talked to Holly and Dave, Holly is unendingly positive about everybody. Great. I understand. Oh, they're doing a great job here, a great job there, a great job. Well, how is that possible? If you were really doing a great job, wouldn't you be ranked number one?
Disagree.
Or number two?
Dude, there's how many teams?
I know.
More than one person could be doing a great job.
Well, okay. That's,
you get the talent you get. You have a great
fine
season.
Excellent point. That more than one people can be doing a great job.
Right.
But not everybody can be doing a great job.
Obviously
50%
not
of people out there are sucking at their job, or some percentage, and let's just say it, that they suck at their job. The team is underperforming, if it's happening. I want to hear a team is underperforming or not performing up to expectations.
What you want is someone to come on our show, give us the College Volleyball Weekly, and be like, you know what? This team sucks right now. I agree with you. I would love to hear it.
We're going to find out when we do our College Volleyball Weekly this week. We're going to see if Jay comes on and tells us that Penn State sucks right now because they had a bad road trip.
They had a bad road trip. We suck right now, guys.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear from Jay. We are terrible. No, like Pepperdine this year. Let's not say Marv's doing a great job with what he has. No, it's not good.
I don't think Marv would say that.
No, he wouldn't. No. Marv's a realist. No, we're not doing a good job this year.
I got him.
The whole group. It doesn't mean Marv is being a bad coach or that he's a poor coach. It means that what they're doing this season is not working, is not producing wins. Don't take it for more than it is.
I got boat raced yesterday. Me and my team. And it was embarrassing. I mean, we got absolutely hammered. So we did not do a great job yesterday. Is that okay for you?
It's okay.
Was it your fault?
Did you suck yesterday?
Yeah. Was it you?
Did you make some mistakes in subs? Did you not deal with Chris?
I was pretty medium.
Okay.
It happens.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if they're playing flat and you're not motivating them enough, and you know, I thought Tim, who I coach with, did a good job of motivating at times, but you know, if they're not getting ready, you know, my biggest problem with the team is I don't like the way they're getting ready for matches. And you know, you can't hold their hand. This is an 18s team. They have to be able to get themselves ready, because when pool play is going, when the game's on, you got to get on and get ready to play.
Yeah.
So obviously, we need to, as a staff, look at how we got to get better at that.
If I go out and hit 200, I didn't have a good game. I had a great match. No, I hit 200. That's kind of the nice thing about sports. There's that end, right? In this, if we do the show, we can say we had a great show. There's no real measure. It's just whatever we think. Somebody else can say it's a bad show, whatever. There's no true definite measure. I love that about sports. There's a measurement. You did a good job or you didn't. You didn't win, so you must not have done a good job.
I disagree. If everyone did a great job every year, everyone would win the championship. That is Kevin Barnett's quote, and I disagree with it.
I don't know that quote is defensible.
I will be clipping that, and I will play it off.
All right. We still have a lot to go on this show. We have Misty and Carrie coming on. We have some audio we wanted to bring back from Dusty Dvorak, one of the greatest players of all time. There you go. Got a gold medal. You can say it. One of the greatest setters of all time. A
couple national championships, right?
Yeah. He did okay.
At USC?
He did okay. Sells real estate in Park City now,
Park
where
City,
I will
Utah
be next weekend.
Yeah.
Enjoying a ski weekend with my buddies.
Are you staying at his house?
I should be.
You didn't
now
get that out of the show, did you?
No, you know what I said? I'll be there next weekend. I was waiting for the invite.
Oh, my God. I have a guest house for you, Kevin, for free.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I am staying in a beautiful home, though, a friend of mine's dad. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have Dusty Dvorak coming back. College Volleyball Weekly coming up. I got a good discussion. We're going to touch a little bit on what Reed's been up to. Champions League Final Four. Big deal overseas. He's made the Final Four. We'll talk about how he made it. Interesting format with the new Golden Set format, and then Laola TV, where you can see it all.
And Reed is going to grade the show and our performance, first half, second half. Looking forward to that.
That's right. I'm looking forward to my second half performance. I know.
Hey,
if you're not
winning, you're losing.
Thank you, Reed. Someone's on
Reed,
my side
if
now.
You're not, if you, Reed, unless you win the championship, you can't do a great job. Is this guy for real?
You can do it.
I get what he's saying, but yes, the actual statement itself doesn't make much sense.
It is asinine.
It is not defensible. That statement is not defensible.
Will you go get me more trail mix when we play the Dusty Dvorak?
Hey, I'll tell you what, that's Trader Joe's tempting mix. You better eat that up.
Stuff's good.
I don't want to touch that bowl, though. You get germs all over that thing. You're coughing on the mic, your hands in the bowl. Your disease, McGee. I'm freezing up here because we're trying to keep the air fresh.
Put on your SARS mask and play the interview. How's that?
All right, we've got the College Volleyball Weekly coming up, but let's hit. We've got Jay in there. I don't see anybody else yet. Why don't we? I don't know. I'm at a loss. Great. There goes my second half.
I thought we were going to
right
Dusty Dvorak.
Let's go to Dusty Dvorak.
Let's go, Dusty. Ready?
Let's put Dusty on.
Here we go.
This is Dusty Dvorak at the USC Special Edition Show on location. Geeter and I chatting with him courtside
Galen. Before
USC BYU.
Zahav, I think you came in when I was a junior or senior, and I love playing with Zahav. I mean, we're kind of opposite in our personality.
Kind of.
But I'll tell you, if there's one player that I respect for just tremendous athletic ability, number one, which you can't teach, and the competitive intensity was unbelievable. I mean, Zahav is a guy I'd go to war with, but I know he'd fight to the bitter end.
Yep.
And when he was lost off the national team for a lot of reasons, which I won't go into, that was a huge hit because Hovland, even though there's other guys that got tremendous publicity and media exposure for being great players, Hov was, I thought, a head and shoulder above most of those other guys.
You talk about the greats that you played with on that 84 team, widely considered by a lot of people to be the greatest team.
The nucleus of the team had tremendous beach experience. Most of us grew up playing on the beach because at that time, indoor didn't have a lot of importance. Beach didn't really either, but we had beach roots. And when it came down to playing the Russians or the Cubans, it was often a play that we learned on the beach, pulling it out of the net or getting a ball in close to your body and being able to pop it up. And I think that really was a critical element because we weren't necessarily stronger or better skilled in hitting or passing or setting, but it was those intangible little things.
Did you have a lot of pride when the 2018 took home the gold, being a former gold medalist and what they had to go through?
Oh, absolutely, because I think they came in, even though I believe they had a nice run-up right before the Olympics, I don't think they were the favorites. And I think the way they kind of, you know, they went through some hardship. And that's what it takes sometimes in a tournament like that. And just peaking at the right time. I hope it's another shot in the arm for USA Volleyball. It seems like every era they get that shot in the arm. But for some reason, that momentum somehow gets lost. You know, the problem, and not to be controversial, I could get controversial.
Please do. That's what the show's for.
I think the problem is one thing that USA Volleyball has not changed is the YMCA mentality of the higher-ups. And I think that's a bit of a problem. You have these great athletes. You have wonderful personalities. Beach volleyball was very, very innovative back in the 90s, got the right people involved, and pushed that sport up to a level that I think it deserves to be. Indoor volleyball with three gold medals has had three doors open for someone very creative, of a group very creative to step in, because it's a great sport, and I'm not just saying that because I played it. I watch lots of sports. It's athletic. The athletes tend to be quality kids, articulate, nice personalities, people that the
should be very
kid,
marketable.
It really does. And you know what? Until we actually get out of that, you know, YMCA mentality, I don't know if it's necessarily going to make that next level.
There you go, Dusty Dvorak.
Were we in the Canary Islands, or were we?
I think we were at a Club Med, yeah.
Guys are amazing.
I mean, that was not DJ Roche, but
it was,
whoever it was,
playing good
killing
music.
It.
Was there anybody there besides you and the players?
No, that's the warm-up tunes right there.
That was at like 5:30.
Were they pogoing?
6:30.
No.
Nobody was wearing those.
There's no disco
fluorescent
ball.
Sticks around their head or anything.
No glow sticks. Dusty had some interesting things to say in that interview, I thought.
I really enjoyed talking to him. I had never met him. I'd watched him play, obviously, but just to see the joy in his face and him being honored at night and that night, and it just seemed like it was such a special thing for him. But what I liked is that, because Barney pointed this out, was that he thought, you know, how much pride he had in the 08 team. Even though you thought they were a favorite, I think amongst the volleyball community in the world that wasn't following it as closely, you know, U.S. were underdogs.
Yeah, they were the favorites in my mind. I said going to that tournament, they were the team to beat. They'd just taken down World League 10 days before. They'd beaten Brazil in Brazil, beaten Serbia. I mean, I thought that they were a team that was peaking and could play with the best teams in the world, and I think if you play that tournament 10 times, they win it 7. Even though there's a couple of great matches in there in that Olympic run. Boy, the Serbia match, the Russia match, the way that match ends is just unbelievable. It reminded me of Titans-Rams Super Bowl, where you just went, it's over? That was it? I mean, Dave Lee blocks that last ball, and you just can't believe that that is actually the end of that game. I think it's Dave Lee that stuffs that ball. I thought you also had a great point about the people in volleyball, and that the underexposure, I think, continues to mystify people because they are really quality people, most of them. And yet you look at these other sports, and not to look down on them, but there's a lot of issues with a lot of athletes in other sports that continue to be bigger because the game is bigger.
Yeah, without a doubt. There's no question about it. We'd like to have him on again, by the way. We said, listen, Dusty, here's the card. Listen to the show. We'll get you every few months. Let's get controversial.
Yeah, let's hear about the national team situation, why there was no Hovland. Let's hear about that, because I've seen Spiker, so I have a little feel for it.
You asked Hov if he had ever seen Spiker.
Dude, he should have seen Spiker, because they
can we get a Hov clip for next
based
week?
On that.
Yes, I told you I was out of town. I couldn't clip it.
No, whoa, here's the game.
Whoa, I'm coming at you.
You're pointing fingers at me. You're sick.
Here's the game we're going to play. We're going to have quotes from the Hov and quotes from Charlie Sheen, and you're going to have to tell me who's who.
Yeah, sorry, I overreacted. Seriously.
You wearing that hat is like me wearing the Ugg slippers that day.
Not the same at all whatsoever.
Just a chippy group in here. I couldn't be happier with the day.
What are you guys thinking about the YMCA comment? Like, what did that mean? He said it twice.
That USA Volleyball isn't a sophisticated marketing machine, which I think is no news to anyone. Mm-hmm. Is that about right? I mean, I know that we have folks that listen over there, but I think that that's a reasonable critique of USA Volleyball. They're not a marketing machine. USA Volleyball has a variety of different things they are tasked with. They are tasked with shepherding the sport from grassroots on up to national teams. That's a huge job. And people always get on USA Volleyball about what they don't do well. And you look at their job and go, well, if their job was just the national team, like the NBA's job is just that brand, then you would have an opportunity to focus more on it. USA Volleyball's job is a broad job. And this is not to defend a lot of the decisions they've made. I've been on the other side fighting USA Volleyball on a lot of different decisions that they've made. But when you look at what their vision or what their mandate is from the U.S. Olympic Committee, it is a monstrous undertaking for a small amount of people with a small amount of money compared to what you're being expected to do. And I think that's what people find out when they serve on the board. I served on the board for 4+ years. Reed's been in there. I think Tyra, Turner, Sean Scott have found that out. They look at it. They start to understand how the business functions and how it's supposed to be. And then you have a great, not sympathy for it, but you then have a recognition of the real task at hand for USA Volleyball. And to say that they are not a sophisticated marketing machine is an absolute truth, because I haven't seen that increase. I was always told as a player, well, if you win the gold medal, if we have success as a team, all these other things will come. Well, it happened in 08, and I have not seen any true measurable change in the visibility of the national team or the visibility of the athletes outside of the sport itself. Unfortunately, I've seen Kim Glass get out by herself.
Outside of Carrie and Misty, I mean, Phil and Todd, Eric and Dane.
Nothing.
Not much.
Not much.
A little bit.
Carrie and Misty have gone to that next level.
Yes.
True. True. But that's not USA Volleyball doing that. That's Misty, Carrie, NBC that's doing that. So, that's kind of where it's at with that. I don't know how you fix that. I think they've tried at times, hiring IMG years ago. Some of the other relationships they've tried to develop, they've made efforts in that direction. It just hasn't worked out yet. I hope it does. Certainly, sustained success in 2012 would do that, because Misty and Carrie were not Misty and Carrie until they won that next gold medal, until they delivered on the promise of NBC and all that promotion. And that was one of the things I really admired about those ladies, was the fact that, yes, they did it once. Great. Really cool. Then they went on that win streak. That was amazing. But even that is within volleyball. But then when the chips were down in 2012 and they came in, and there was all this promo and pictures of them for a year and a half, and they're the golden girls and this and that, they delivered. I thought that was the moment. That's where they became the icons. That's where they went beyond the sport itself. All right. We're going to move on to our College Volleyball Weekly. The best that's happened in college.
Hey, before we do, Kevin,
we do what, Reed? Hang on. Yes, Reed.
You got to get to, we've got a special caller in the queue.
Yeah, we got a caller.
Oh, see, I couldn't find the thing here.
We finally have a caller. Oh. Hour and a half in.
He's fresh off an Enduro Cross in Dirt Rider magazine. Matt Boyce, welcome back.
Back for another.
Thank you, gentlemen. How is everybody today?
Not good, but we're improving.
Tough first half hour. Hopefully the downloaders just skip right over it. We weren't at our best. We talked about why we're here today. For me, it was FOMO, Matt. It was the fear of missing out on a great show, even though I knew I shouldn't have been here because I have work to do. And I said hopefully you would call in and explain FOMO to the people.
I'd love to. Thank you for inviting me to come on and talk about this terrible disease that afflicts 1 in 6 Americans. If you had 6 people in there, one of you would have it for sure.
I'm
guessing after we talk about it that all 3 of you, and if DJ Roche is there, all 4 of you have it. FOMO, which stands for fear of missing out. You talk about grassroots and lack of funding. Just go ahead and throw FOMO in there. A good friend of mine by the name of Alex Bottom is one of the founders of a very small grouping of people that's trying to bring awareness to this. So FOMO I would equate to kind of ADD, and then there is a ADHD version, if you will, called FOBLA, which is fear of being left out. And I think you can probably put yourself in a scenario like this where maybe you were invited to, this is very real for Chris, 3 different weddings on the same day. What do you do? One's serving lobster, one is serving some kind of an alfresca dish, and you feel left out if you want the seafood, but you can't go to that because maybe you went to one of your friends' weddings and now it's your wife's turn to go to one of her friends. So it's rampant, it's daily, it's very, very, very unrecognized.
It seems like the underdiagnosis of this condition is related to simply people not knowing that they have it. I mean, 1 in 6 is not many, but it seems like maybe 5 in 6.
I think we all have FOBLO. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I think as we talk through it right now, it's really more like 7 out of 3 have it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Any chance he hosts the show within the next 3 months and
yes.
We're all kicked out. Reed is going to hire.
There was a great
voice.
Great comment this week from John Sprague, UC Irvine coach, on our Facebook page, said that he loved Matt Boyce coming on. He loved something you said, but he said that forget the titles that UC Irvine earned. It was having Mark Presciò and Matt Boyce on the bench that made it the glory years.
I'd like to think the kids maybe learned something.
Did you produce any stand-up comedians from the group? Maybe they were learning something.
I did. You know what? I did. I don't know. And if I did, they probably wouldn't tie it back to me. And I'm okay with that. I gave Chris no acknowledgement of my success after doing the AVP for 3 years with him. And I don't plan on doing it today either. But that's okay. I think we've all touched and influenced people. And it's really just the satisfaction knowing that you've made somebody and not a monetary benefit, unless they really get big and then you want to go after them.
I was wondering who Chris was, and I realized it was myself.
Yes.
I was like, who's Chris? Oh, Chris McGee.
Oh, yeah. Matt Boyd, thanks again.
Thanks
call
for saving the show.
My pleasure. Have a great day, gentlemen.
All right.
Blake Cantrell, somewhere in Santa Barbara, is very happy about that phone call. He just listens every week, hoping Matt calls in.
All right, Reed, can I start the music? Are you okay?
Yes.
Reed, do you have FOBLO? Fear of being left out or more FOMO?
FOMO, yeah, definitely. I'm tweeting about it right now. My son actually has that, and he got it from me. even though like dead tired, hasn't slept in like 24 hours, he still will just be like, what's going on? I don't want to miss out. Just like his dad.
Here we go.
Who's number one? Shocker.
You can't stop him.
You can't stop him.
No. Murphy Troy. There's no finishing that guy off. He is 600.
Great guess. Riley McKibben flowing the sauce.
Have we not talked about the fact that his name is Murphy Troy and he plays for the Trojans?
Yeah.
Dynamo Troy.
Billy Ferguson.
Each week in association with the ABCA. And Net Live is proud to present the best that was in college volleyball. We're talking about the men. It's springtime and the Trojans are still dominating, so we're still listening to this music. Bring in our correspondents for this week. And I talked to Mike Sonheimer at UCLA. He knew this music was coming on, and maybe he's just waiting until afterwards to give us a call. I'm not really sure.
I thought he'd come in after his big win and gloat over Jay Hossack.
I think he just set his clock forward. But we have Jay Hossack from Penn State and Rob Aspiro of UC Irvine.
Gentlemen, Jay, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, you guys are doing a terrible job in Penn State. According to Barnett, only one guy is going to do a great job this year in the history. Awful job to you, and make sure you guys, as a staff, maybe fire yourselves.
Well, listen, I'd like to quote Charlie King at this moment and say, duh, losing. But no, I don't think we did a horrible job. Hey, listen, real quick before I forget, I want to change gears for just one second. When I went to Japan in the fall with Hugh and the team, the guy that picked me up was a man named Sei Watanabe. He's the Mizuno guy out there. And when I got in the car, he asked me, have you ever listened to a show called The Net Live? So they listen out there in Japan. And he obviously went through a little bit of a spell this past week with the tsunami and the earthquake. And he is okay. And I just want to give out a shout-out to Sei. He's a great guy. And glad to hear he's safe. And I hope everybody else who has family and friends out there is okay as well. So, that being said,
great, thank you, Jay.
What was your question again? I'm sorry, I got sidetracked.
Well, let's move on from Barnett's asinine comment. Talk about your trip to SoCal. A lot of great volleyball. Obviously, went 1-2, and probably hope for some better results. But I know you're right there in that UCLA match. So just tell us about your week.
Yeah, you know, we came out this week, and, you know, we do a lot of traveling to the West Coast and bring a lot of West Coast teams out, so you know, our schedule's got a good amount of MPSF teams in there. We went into that match against UCLA. I thought, you know, we had an okay scouting report. We don't get many matches from them. They don't play much outside of it ahead of time, and, you know, we were up 21-16 in the first and just let that one slip away from us, and I think we won that. We would have won the match in four, but ended up going 5, and the last game was an absolute battle and lost 19-17, actually swung a couple times for match, and just, you know, UCLA's got a couple of really strong middles, and they do a nice job of putting the ball down. So that one slipped away from us, but I thought we played pretty well. I wasn't disappointed at all. Went into the match against Santa Barbara on Friday, and again, didn't have much of a scouting report, but our guys are figuring it out. They're executing at a higher level, and they're learning to forget about the previous point and moving on to the next one, which I think is true of a lot of great teams. And we're definitely on the right path. And so we took care of that match in 1-4. Rick did a nice job. And then the next night against Long Beach State, you know, we went in and just Long Beach is very good from the service line, and they got a couple guys that just unload back there, and we didn't quite execute as well as planned. But again, I thought we played well, and I think what we learned this week is, you know, kind of what we've been seeing all season long, that anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And there was a quote that a coach said to me out there, and I think it's pretty fitting, that USC started out the year really hot and heavy and has done a really nice job all season long, and deservedly so. There's a lot of seniors on that team. But it seems that the rest of the country had a little bit more of potential to reach. And so SC started out high, but maybe that's a pretty high bar to keep raising in a high clip. So everybody else seems to be catching up, and that seems to be what the case is now. So we're excited, and, you know, there's great teams out there as always.
Robbie, UC Irvine had an interesting week. You crushed the obviously not doing a good job Marv Dunphy Pepperdine Waves. and then went and lost to Southern California. Talk a little bit about those two matches.
Well, the Pepperdine match, you know, just from watching it, you could just tell that Pepperdine is just some of the fundamentals just aren't there. And, you know, obviously you've played for Marv, and the coaching staff is a great staff there, but I just don't think the guys they've checked out, because they see the losing record, and they've got to feel the reputation of potentially not making the playoffs for the first time in X amount of years. So, you know, even just the other people I was sitting with watching the match are saying, gosh, that is just an uncharacteristic Pepperdine error. So a lot of fundamentals are breaking down that team right now. And I think even after their loss on Saturday night to UCSD in five in a barn burner, I think they may have just totally checked out for the season. So, but on the Irvine side of things, Carson Clark's beginning to get some really big swings, and Anthony Spill's getting a hold of the offense. And, with Will Montgomery, six matches in, he's getting used to passing with Yoder and Dufault, or whoever is going to be playing outside there, because Spraw's been switching out the OHs. So on Saturday night, UC Irvine had its chances. They were down 2-1 and going into the fourth, and were up 22-20. And Tri Bourne just really stepped up on defense and hit a couple back row balls that just turned the tables on us. And next thing you know, they were serving for match points. So Irvine had its chances, and Carson Clark had 27 kills. And at one point was hitting close to the high fourth along with Murphy Troy, and both of them just started tanking starting in the third set. So other hitters had to step up, and that's what Tri Bourne did for USC. Henry Casty on fire, 15 digs for USC, and he was all over the place. And Riley McKibben just made such great decisions. And got to talk to Fergie after the Irvine match at USC, and the big difference with this team this year is if you get a ball that's passed 15 feet off the net, they can still run an in-system play, which I think puts them head above the rest of the conference right now, because they've got so many weapons right now, and they're in a good rhythm, and they're going to be really tough to beat. And you know, right now they're solid. Although other schools are catching up, they're still a tough act to beat down. So USC's on fire.
You know, Jay, one thing when I hear about Pepperdine and talk to my friends that are around that program, you know, obviously there's injuries, and one thing that always gets pointed out is that they don't have a lot of heat on the left side. How can you win in this day and age in men's college volleyball unless you have someone that can terminate out there?
Well, you know, I think terminate and bringing heat are maybe two different things. And we, and you guys especially, have talked about Riley Salmon. I don't think you necessarily need to bring heat all the time. I think you just need to be effective. And here's a great example of somebody today who maybe doesn't have the most heat but is real crafty, and that's Taylor Crabb on the outside for Long Beach State. The kid's, 6 foot, 6'1" at the most? And all he does when he goes up and swings is just he sees where the block is, and he's chiseling around it, and I kind of liken it to trying to catch a jellyfish. You go up there and you've got great hands in front of him, and he just finds a way to dribble it through or hit around you and tool the block. And I think, you know, you guys obviously know Pepperdine. Dumphy's not a bad coach, and I don't think he's a loser. But, you know, they're just struggling a little bit. Maybe some of those players have relied a little bit heavily on some other ones in the past few years, and now it's their turn to step up, and maybe they're just struggling a little bit. So, excuse me, I think effectiveness is what nearly needs to be said, and I think there's a few players out there that are just pretty good at it.
I know there are some big games, Jay, on Big Ten Network this week. Tell us about the matches that are upcoming this week that we need to look at.
Well, upcoming for the Big Ten, to be honest with you, I'm not sure who is on the slate for this week. I know April 10th is our match against Ohio State, which is at 5 p.m. Eastern on that Sunday. But as far as the Big Ten Network is concerned, they're doing just a great job. And I think Ball State is coming out. IPFW is coming out. I'm not sure. I think Ohio State's got some stuff on the slate this week coming up. So, check your local listings. I know Big Ten is doing an absolutely fabulous job of hosting some of these games on their TV channel, for sure.
The new poll is out. Southern California, number one. BYU, number two. Stanford, number three. Those remain unchanged, as BYU and Stanford were both idle. Ohio State, four. Long Beach State, fifth. UC Irvine, sixth. UC Santa Barbara, seventh. UCLA, eight. Penn State, nine. Hawaii, 10. Loyola Chicago, 11. And then Lewis, Pepperdine, UC San Diego, Pacific. I don't know how Pepperdine even hangs in there with what's been going on up there. I think they should be outside the top 15. That seems like voting on past record. They're at 6-11. still hang on to that 13th spot. But I wanted to ask Robbie about Hawaii, because Hawaii seems like a team that could be somewhat dangerous. They beat Pacific twice this past week. And is that a team that could squeak into the playoffs and then cause some waves?
Well, interesting you should bring that up, because I was looking at the MPSF standings right now, and in the 4 spot is Long Beach State, and Hawaii is in the 5 spot. So, you know, they definitely want to try and host that first round match of the MPSF tournament. So this would be a big statement if they can beat Long Beach at Long Beach. Hawaii, with Honus Umlauft, he is a big cannon at the right side, and you can only contain him at that opto side. When they came to Irvine, the only way that Irvine was able to squeak out of those matches was to capitalize on Hawaii's passing weaknesses, which meant Joshua Walker got every single ball served to him. So, you know, they're gonna have to get some better passes from Walker is what it's come down to, because the defenses are on service. Everyone is keying on him, and they can only go one way, and that's Umlauft. He ends up going up against 3 blockers every time. They do have the potential, though. They've got some, you know, when Walker gets to the pin, he is a huge hitter. I saw him hit a ball over Carson Clark at the outside, and a few other times that this year, when just you look at the footage, he is definitely one of the biggest jumpers in the conference right now. So, you know, I think Hawaii's chances are going to rest on what Walker can do, because everyone else is doing their part for Hawaii.
All right, I got to bring into the show our other correspondent, Mike Sonheimer, who I think just pushed his clock forward an hour.
Well, that or you have basketball playoffs at your school that you have to worry about when you got both the men and women's teams being in.
Oh,
that's who's... obviously a slam against Pepperdine and Northridge, because Penn State's in on both, I think.
Penn State's in both. I know. And Penn State should be very, very, very happy they're hosting in women's. Might be back there. Who knows?
Guys, we're going to have to wrap this up. Mike, we've talked a lot about the past week. Give us what's upcoming this next week. What should we watch?
I think you're looking at non-conference more than anything else. I mean, most teams are in final exams that really matter. I think Hawaii, Long Beach is the mess to see. Hawaii's been so good at home, where they're going to get a chance to host in the first round. Really, it's going to be how well they can finish on the road. And that's really the key, because I think Hawaii's going to have a lot of trouble if they have to play a first-round road match in the MPSF as opposed to playing at home. And SC has established themselves right now as the clear number one, and unless something changes, they're going to be hosting.
Okay, Jay, then Robbie, wrap it up for us here. Upcoming week.
Let's see. For us, we have got Ball State and IPFW coming into the Rec Hall. That's going to be some good matches for us. And I believe Ohio State is traveling interconference. They're going out to see San Diego in Irvine, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Robbie?
Yes, they are. In the following week.
All right, Robbie.
You know, I'm going to go with the Hawaii and Long Beach State matches just because those teams are vying for that home first-round match. And I think Hawaii needs to get this match to get any kind of confidence. You know, it's coming up against Long Beach State in the Pyramid. They got Boffman who's been playing well. Taylor Crabb's been playing well. They need this win, or these couple of wins. If they can at least get a split this weekend, they can make a statement.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Look forward to talking to you next week. Great job.
Have a good one, guys.
College Football Weekly, ABCA, and the Net Live, filling you in on what's happening. And we also make sure we mention Zamps, Athlete Saver, big sponsor of our program. Usable products for the world of volleyball. They're all about effectiveness, ease of use, comfort, and that produces performance. Zamps, orthosis for athletes. Check them out, Zamps.com. Really good stuff.
Time to bring in, I don't know if it's guests. I think it's going to be guests, but guests first.
Guests at the moment.
The greatest team of all time, male or female, 2-time gold medalist for the United States of America, 3-time world champions for the United States of America, the winningest female team of all time with 99 titles together. And they are back. Kerry Walsh and Misty May Trainor. Kerry, how are you?
I'm good, Geet. How are you guys doing?
That was Jay Roche slinging the tunes right there, trying to get you fired up, Kerry.
I'm ready to go. Put me in, Coach.
Are you solo?
I'm solo. Miss, we just literally walked off the beach, and I think Reed was going to text Missy the call-in number, so she's going to call in a little bit.
Kerry, let's start right away with you get the phone call from Misty. Was it a message? Did she reach you right away? Take us through that process. Your surprise, obviously, that she said, I'm ready to come back.
Yeah. It was a text message that started this whole thing off, followed by a call from Butch to my husband, followed by an email from Misty, followed by a meeting in Manhattan Beach about 2 weeks ago now. And when I got the first text, it was a mild panic because I thought she told me that she had to get something off her chest and it was something that she thought she'd be over with by now, but she's not. And I honestly thought in my heart and my head that I had upset her in something I said in the media. Because I've been known to do that before. And so I was like, God, what did I say? Like, that just sucks. And so when I got the email saying that she just, her heart's in this, she wants to do this, she wants to do it with me, you know, we're going to go for gold in London. It was a relief in one respect. And then it was another major panic because I'm like, oh my gosh, look at what this situation I'm in right now. I'm playing with Nicole and Misty wants to play. And it started kind of a big drama, but a wonderful one to be in.
Yeah, I appreciate you being honest with us, and we'll get to Nicole in just a few moments. But so when you meet with Misty, were there some things you needed to hear in terms of wanting to do this? Because I know deep down in your heart, Misty was always your first choice. You just didn't think she was playing.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, Misty and I, we never really connected in off season, and, you know, she was playing with Nicole last year. And just the whole year, I just, when I saw her, I was like, I just felt for her because it just felt like her heart wasn't in it. And when your heart's not in it, obviously it just makes life so kind of miserable. And so when we met with each other, I had to ask her about that, you know, what changed so drastically from last year to this, you know, why is this year all of a sudden different? Why is your heart in it? And, you know, and I know your focus has been to start a family the past couple of years. Are you going to be able to put it on hold for a couple of years? And how's it going to be around my boys all the time? Cause we're insane. A and B, you know, it could be tough being around, you know, babies when that's what you want. And you know, we kind of had a conversation like that, and it was literally the best conversation we've had, I would say, in our whole careers. You know, I think we've had three real, real deep heart-to-hearts, and this was the top one of them over the past 10 years. And it was really emotional, really thoughtful, and really inspiring. And that's why we are where we are today.
Now, the hard part, obviously, because in our sport, where it's a two-person team, there's always going to be someone left out. You obviously had to meet with Nicole, as you said. How difficult was that? And if you can share some of that with us.
You know, it was honestly devastating because, you know, I honestly have grown to love Nicole very much as a person. As an athlete, she is such a stud, and I don't have enough good things to say. But as a woman and as a person, I really think she's really special. And I felt like I lost a friend because of this situation, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to make it right in whatever way. But when we met, it was after, you know, days of pulling my hair out and praying and talking to some really trusted advisors. And when I came into my decision, I met with Nicole, and it was just a bombshell, you know, and I saw it in her face, and I was crying, and she was really composed and consoling me, and I'm like, no, don't, I don't deserve it, like, you don't deserve this, and I'm so sorry. So that's kind of how it went, and then, you know, I think she collected herself, and over the weekend, she had to kind of deal with the fallout from all this, and her sponsors were calling her, and, you know, and her friends and family, and, you know, so I left her in a really terrible position, and I know that, and, you know, it wasn't intentional, and when I made my decision to play with her, it was based on, you know, the facts that I had at the time, and I, honestly, in my heart, if I thought Misty would have come back, I wouldn't have committed to Nicole, even though she's amazing and ridiculous and all that wonderful stuff. You know, if Misty's playing, I want to be playing with Misty. So it was really hard for me, and Nicole, you know, handled it like a woman, and we've communicated a couple times since then, and I think things are getting a little easier, but she will come out, you know, in an amazing spot because of this. She's a fighter, and I'm just sorry that I'm the one who put her in this situation, but you know, it was the toughest decision of my life, and I feel like I made the right one, and now my job is to show Nicole respect and make the most of this decision and go out and win gold in London with Misty.
And how has it been going with Misty now that you guys have been together a few days?
It's really fun, Dean. It's like, I mean, I was talking to you the other day, and I love her so much, and I feel like we have so much more room to grow, and I've always felt like that. Like, we haven't hit our peak yet, individually for sure, and together for sure. And so I'm just really excited to go out there and really just push ourselves to be even better, 20 times better than we were in Beijing, because we're going to need to be. And it's so fun. She's like, she's so hungry. And when you have a Misty May that's hungry, it's insane. It's like, you know, Michael Jordan on his very best day when he's just out of his mind. And, you know, that's where she's at. And I'm right there with her. I love it. I'm hungry. I'm fired up. And we're going to be good.
And Carrie, not only is she hungry, but she is now on the line. Ladies.
On the line. All right.
Yay, Misty May.
And I got to tell you, Jay Roche, she was throwing out hints to this show 3 weeks ago, and we did not pick it up. Jay Roche, can you do your magic for the one and only Misty May Trainor? She's basically speaking to you, Jeremy. What did she say?
What did I say? I said I might play, but it was pretty much, I thought it domestically. I was like, okay, what in the world? You know when you have it in
Misty,
the
hey,
side,
Misty, hey, Misty, we're going to
hey,
tell you what you said right now.
We're going to play you a little
gonna
bit
play
of you.
We're going to play you right now. Ready? Go, Jeremy.
Okay, play me. Play Misty for me. Play Misty for me.
Misty, if you don't be quiet, no one's ever going to hear it.
What? I'm not retiring people.
I'm not retiring people. It's
in
being
code.
Yeah, it's being played as much as the Charlie Sheen winning. I'm not retiring people. We did not catch up on that. So, Misty, I got to ask you this. Why are you coming back, and when did you have this revelation that it's going down?
Well, I don't know where the retirement came in, because everybody kept asking me, kept asking my dad, like, oh, Misty's retired. I was like, I never said I was retired. I was like, I just need to step away, you know? I've been going for so long and last year, and, you know, my husband does something completely different than what I do, and we never see each other, and it was nice seeing him. And I think when you get so wrapped up, you just need to take a step back and take a deep breath. And for so long, I tried to tell myself that it's okay to step away. You know, I can do it now. But deep down in my heart, I was sad. Like, I love this game. This is the only thing I've ever known is training. This is my career. And, you know, just I had a talk with a good friend of mine and explained my feelings. And I don't want to, you know, I want to finish. If I'm going to go out, which, you know, who knows when anybody's going to go out. But if I want to go out, I want to do it with the right person. And Carrie is that person. We shared so much together and everything. And, you know, this is something that I woke up at 3:30 in the morning crying. Matt didn't know I was crying, but I was crying and I couldn't understand why. And it's because I missed the game. I miss, you know, her. I missed everything that we've done. And I wasn't ready to step away.
Were you nervous when you made that call? Or were you, you know, because you're putting yourself out there, were you concerned?
I was, and Carrie, you know, hit upon this. We haven't had that many heart-to-hearts. And it's not her lack of trying. My communication, I tend to hold everything in. And even my own husband knows this. And so for me, it was quite a big step. Like I said, I don't mean to hurt anybody, you know, or anything. I had to go with my heart and my feelings. I wish I could have spoke up sooner, but I didn't have that strength. And this was a big step for me, was coming to my husband and saying, hey, we need to sacrifice because I need to do this for me. I need to do this for us. And I can't step away, you know? And that was the first big step. And then the second big step was coming to Carrie. You know, I owed her that respect. I appreciate her friendship. I appreciate her as a teammate, as an athlete, and as a mom. And I owe it to her that if I was going to play domestically, if I was going to play elsewhere, I owe it to her to come to her and let her know, hey, I'm not ready to shut down. I want to play.
Misty, as you wrestled with this decision and you finally made the decision, you told Matt, you told Carrie, were you filled with an enormous sense of relief?
I actually was, you know, but at the same time, and Carrie, you know, explained earlier, I played with Nicole last year. I think she's a tremendous person. She has such a big heart, and you never want to hurt anybody. And, you know, I knew something might happen because of this or what, you know, whatnot. And like I said, I wasn't going in saying, hey, I want to break this team up, you know? That wasn't my intention. My intention was to talk to my friend and, you know, explain from my heart how I was feeling. But, you know, it's one of those, I actually was very proud of myself for speaking up. It's not very often that I speak up, and that was a tremendous step for me.
Carrie, how happy were you that she spoke up?
So happy. You know,
I'm really proud of her too, because you know I've been in therapy a couple of years, and it's for the same things, you know, speaking out about things that you're holding down deep inside and you're afraid to come out with. But usually when you do, you're pleasantly surprised by people's reactions, and you know, usually it's a gift to someone when you open up like that. And she put me in such a wonderful problem to have, obviously, no matter how challenging it was. To have, you know, Misty land on my lap again is, you know, it's an amazing gift, and I plan on making the, you know, very best of it.
People are asking who's going to be your coach. Can you guys tell us right now, is it confirmed?
Marcio Ciccoli.
Marcio Ciccoli is also the assistant at Pepperdine, and what does he bring to the table for you guys?
You go, Misty.
Well, we carry a dictionary with us every day of the week, a translating kit. No, he's very passionate about the game. It's funny because volleyball, in the sport of volleyball, he's wise, and then I forget that I'm older than he is, you know? It's like, oh. But he has that spunk and fire that every time he shows up to practice, whether you're tired, you know, we want to be at practice every day because we want to win that gold medal, but he brings that same fire, and he won't let us get away with just being okay, or that pass was just good enough. No, it needs to be, this is, in order to win, this is where the pass needs to be. You know, he wants perfection, and it's good.
Real quick, I want to add on to that. You know, and what I feel, he's just going to prepare us better than anyone in the world, because I feel like he's a genius when it comes to breaking down the game, breaking down your weaknesses and your strengths, and, you know, and creating drills to work on those things. And like Missy said, his passion is ridiculous. He's a Jedi, he's a master, and he's the ultimate student of the game. And I've just been looking so forward to working with him, and he's going to make us a really solid team. So I'm so grateful we have Marcy on our team.
Carrie, I'll address this to you because we talked to you before about your plans for the summer and perhaps moving to Europe to play on the FIVB Tour full-time. With now partnering with Misty, does that change your plans at all?
No. You know, our goal is to qualify for London this year, and that means to win every tournament we compete in internationally. We're planning on playing that entire schedule. Things are just so up in the air for domestically. You know, I know a couple people are working on different things, but nothing's set in stone, and, you know, we can't make decisions based on hypothetical things. And the FIVB schedule set. So we're going to go over there, you know, work on our goals and winning the world champs and winning every Grand Slam and every tournament we enter, and then we'll peak for London and kick butt there.
What are you hearing about Olympic qualification and how that process is going to move forward, Carrie?
You know, it's definitely a work in progress. I know that USAV sent a proposal to USOC that they're waiting approval on, and I'll speak up for myself. I don't agree with their proposal. And so we're hoping that we can come to some point of partnership, and we can say, you know what, for this year, we don't want to throw in a haphazard process, but, you know, we want to get the best teams out there. We want to win as many medals as possible. Let's, you know, maybe revert to the old process, and then for 2016, we'll knock it out of the park. Because, you know, the U.S. deserves to have a domestic component as far as the trials are concerned, or as far as the qualification process is concerned. My fear is that, you know, I feel like a one or two tournament trials event really is a disservice to the country and disservice to the players, because to win gold medals in the Olympics, you need to prove yourself against the international teams and not American teams.
And
you know, I think if swimming has amazing trials, I think track does too, but we're a team sport. We don't play against clocks or judges, and we need to prove ourselves.
Misty, with the decision to come back with the season starting a month away, we have to ask, where's your game right now, and how are you feeling about it?
You know, I feel okay. Of course, I want to get better. I want to get in better shape. But if you look at my calendar, every day is packed because, you know, Matt and I talked, and this is a job. I'm treating this like any other Olympic year, which is, I mean, sometimes I leave at 7 in the morning. I'm not getting back at 7 till 7 at night. Because I'm going to meet with my trainers, I'm going to meet with my therapist, I'm going to do everything that I can to go in the best prepared. Am I playing catch up a little? Sure. But do I feel that it won't come back? Absolutely not. And Carrie's been patient with me, and we're actually doing a workout together here in about a half an hour. So I'm really going to kick my butt for these next few weeks till we head out.
Last thing, Carrie, what are some of the new things? You know, you guys trying to keep it fresh. What are some of the new things maybe you guys are doing to elevate your game?
Well, we're working on everything. I mean, there's nothing new there. You know, we've been successful in the past, and we're not trying to drastically change our game. It's more, you know, we want to work on our mindset. We want to get our kind of our swagger back and our confidence. And, yeah, so we just basically we're trying to get a rhythm back as a team. We're trying to improve on every single skill. And this is a new ball for both of us, you know. We need to really start to love this ball because right now I hate it. So that's my focus. And my goal personally is to be one of the best servers in the world and to be the best pass in the world. So if we can do that, I feel like we're going to be pretty money.
Misty and Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us here. We know you're focused on the new partnership, and we wish you the best. Look forward to talking to you several times before the Olympics.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Carrie, see
you
soon.
Love you, Junior.
Okay. Awesome.
That was really good.
Dude.
By them.
How good of an announcement is that for volleyball, by the way? There's been all this bad news for beach volleyball in the United States. I couldn't think of a better announcement for that sport than this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's people that are, you know, upset about this decision. No question about it. A month ago in the season. You know, it wasn't just Nicole. You know, there is a domino effect. You know, Brooke Hansen loses her partner, Angie Akers. I mean, it is a tough thing, and there's no bigger domino effect when Misty decides to come back. I thought they were pretty honest in saying when they talked in November, she just thought Misty wasn't coming back.
I talked to Misty in December. She said,
yeah. We talked to her
three weeks
ago.
I'm not retired. But training full time is not something I want to do anymore.
I'm not retiring, people.
But this is training full time. So obviously, and you heard that in what she was saying about the conflict that she was having in herself about whether to give it up or whether to give it another run.
I think that's why it took so long.
You have to give it another run. You have to. I know it's hard to do. You know, she wants to spend time with Matt. I wanted to ask her, so you spent a couple of months with Matt and then decided you didn't want to spend any more time with Matt? But I understand that feel of like, do I continue or do I not continue? Do I continue to give it a run? Because I felt that way after 2004. I thought, well, I'm in okay shape, but I played really well, but my knees aren't great, and I decided to give it another run. Now, it didn't work out, but I'd hate to have always looked back and gone, what if I didn't stop at that point? I think that's what Misty's faced with, and you see it time and time again with athletes that they're faced with that what-if choice, and time and time again, minus like a Barry Sanders, you don't see them walk away. You see everybody go and give it another shot.
Yeah, there's no question the reason why it took so long is because she was very unsure and she knew what it would do and wanted to make the right choice for her. So I'm sure she went through a lot of ups and downs, and she's sharing with us that she's waking up at 3:30 in the morning crying. I don't think anybody else in the world knows that but her. Matt didn't even know. So I think, you know, better late than never, in her opinion. She knew it would hurt Nicole. Didn't want to do that. Nicole's a friend, but had to be true to her heart, so she stepped out of her box and said, Carrie, let's do this. You know, and of course, Carrie, as she said, it was a relief, but at the same time, there was a little bit of devastation because she had built up this chemistry, this bond, this friendship with Nicole. And I know she believes in her heart she was going to win with Nicole.
Yeah.
I've interviewed her. I sat with her as a friend. I know she believes that. It wasn't a question in her mind. But she was very honest when she said to us, I lost a friend because of this. And no one's going to blame Nicole for that. There's no question about it. I mean, there's no doubt Nicole is the one left out here.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation in beach, the fact that you have that domino effect. You have those personal relationships with somebody, the partnership, the marriage aspect of it. And we always talk about that marriage aspect of it, but then you heard the way Carrie was describing what happened with Nicole and the way that she had to break it to her. And it sounds like breaking up with a long-term girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse. It sounds exactly like that. All the words are the same. You know, don't console me. I don't deserve it. You know, you're great. It's so funny to listen to that, and it's a very unique aspect to that sport.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to get Nicole on here hopefully soon. Obviously, we're going to give her time, but, you know, she's playing with Angie, and she'll go forward, but how she at first was kind of maybe consoling Carrie, it sounded like a little bit, and then after a few days, you know, she had to think about it a little bit, was disappointed, but I really appreciate Carrie and Misty's honesty, to be honest with you guys. So I thought they came in and answered questions straight on, especially, you know, the Olympic qualification. And
I want to address that for just a second. Yeah. We're going to go further into it as that process gets clarified.
I think we all need to be educated more on it. I know.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no question about it. I mean, I'm speaking for myself.
We know there are proposals out there. Mm-hmm. We've heard kind of different parts of what might be out there from Carrie from other sources. But Carrie made a point about qualification, saying – that she wants it to be based on more than one or two tournaments, and that we're not like track and field where we're not racing a clock or this or that. You know, I disagree a little bit. I think that if you're the best team, then you can prove it at any time. And yes, we want the best teams in the Olympics, but if you shut it off to you have to have a great 4 years or a great 3 years or a great 2 years, whatever that longer period is, you shut off the opportunity for someone to peak at the end and be awesome and get that and grab for the ring at the very moment of qualification and the Olympics. And I think you shut off a lot of different possible stories and possible things that can happen with your own sport. I understand for the people at the top, it benefits them if it's a longer term thing because they can produce results over a longer term. For a team like Misty Carey of old, if they can become that again, it benefits them, Phil Todd, so on. But I think you lose some of the excitement and the put it all on the line moment of qualification. And part of what the Olympics is, and you've seen NBC delve further into it out of just the Olympics itself, is the qualification point and the who's going to get in. That's a big story in itself. Who's going to get in? And if that's eliminated by just having the older, the people who've been successful already in, you've taken away a little bit of excitement from the qualification aspect of the sport. And then not only getting those great teams in, but that one random team, and then let's see how they do. Maybe they won't do well. So there's a blend there between those two things.
You know, the argument, as far as I can see, between players is that the ones that have spent the time going over there and going through the qualies and the country quotas and getting in, they've built up their resume. You know, they've pursued it. But only a few teams can even compete in these tournaments. You can't send our best 10 teams over to the FIVB. They're not going to get in. You're going to have a country quota just before you even get to a qualifier. So I think on the other side, you have the players going, well, we can't afford to just go over and travel all over the world and compete and get in because we're not even in the main draw. So there's definitely two sides to this coin, and you know they have to hash it out.
We're going to have further discussion on it. We're going to talk to people from USAV, from IMG. We'll talk to some more players. Well, this is something that will be ongoing. Maybe we can get somebody from the USOC in here to talk about how it's going on. But I don't think you should let the players make all the decisions. We'll get more into that
later.
Hey, we're going to have to push the Champions League discussion and the basketball discussion forward to another day. This has been a great show, a long show. It started out a little slow, but I think Misty and Carey picked it up there at the end, and we want to spend more time talking about that, certainly on our next program. We need to get Geeter out of here because he needs some flu medication or he's going to keel over.
We got to work.
Although the trail mix picked you up a little bit.
Did.
Hey, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention all of our great sponsors. Zamps, huge sponsor for our show. The support of Mikasa. We have Josh Glazebrook doing our graphic arts. A lot of other great people out there making it happen for the Net Live every day. And we are glad that we can bring you this show each week and talk about the sport in a way that hasn't always been talked about.
Good job getting Hugh on.
Yeah, we have Hugh McCutcheon, Misty Carey.
Proper
coming in. He's got a new effort out there with Skyball. I think there's a lot of interesting things happening in the sport. And we're going to keep following it for you. So send us email, thenetlive@gmail.com. We've had some great emails.
Guess who's coming on next week? Jen Cassie.
Oh, yes! Just like this is the part where Jeremy and I compete for the rose.
Yep.
Will Jen be giving out a rose at the end of the show?
I like how he keeps referring to it.
Oh, that's great.
I'm already winning.
You just it's got to be in armband, studio. You have a three-quarter sleeve tattoo. That's the slam dunk for you. And your stupid spot. I'm going to get a mohawk this week just for the show.
Jen and I have history. We're friends. Are you guys friends?
All that means is she knows all your flaws. I'm like the
flaws. Please.
So, there will be the most exciting rose ceremony ever at the end of the next Net Live. As Jen Ketchy picks either myself or Jeremy DJ Roche to dump our current girlfriends and wives.
I'm not retired, people.
I will be.
Oh, and Geeter.
I'll be hearing about this later.
Hey,
by winning.
All right, DJ. Reader, we're going to talk about Champions League next week and fill people in on the great stuff you're doing over there with Lloyd Ball.
Grade us, Reed. Give us a grade. We're out soon. Wow.
Reed gets an F.
I think it's C. You know, we a little cloudy, slight chance of rain.
Fair to Midland?
There's some rays of sunshine.
DJ Roche. Great read, pretty on his post production of Dusty Dvorak.
I will give you a D minus.
Oh, wow. He didn't like the wipes, Reed.
Oh, man.
the audio levers were off, like they weren't like went all level when the transition was too high.
Like our whole opening.
I know.
Isn't that why you brought me in to do that kind of stuff? I mean, what's going
on?
Yeah,
where's our new opening, Roche?
I'm waiting on Reed.
Exactly.
Actually.
I know you and Reed own the show. That's a C.
No, that was a D minus.
He gave us a C with Hugh McCutcheon and Carrie and Misty.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Sorry, I cut you off, Reed. Go ahead, Professor.
I think the connection's getting a little bad here.
Roll those credits, DJ Roche. Hey, we'll see you back here live next week. The Net Live, Kevin, Geeter, JR, and Reed. Appreciate you being here, people. Hit us up, thenetlive@gmail.com, facebook.com/thenetlive. Keep in touch all week. Be good.
Good news is C is passing.
D minus is way down there.
Okay, we wrote this for a purpose to motivate you at this time. With this hypnotizing baseline, please feel free to leave.